Blog Talk Radio.
This is Live Paranormal Radio, brought to you by LiveParanormal.com, the number one interactive online community for everything paranormal, horror, and sci-fi. LP Web Design, 100% custom websites, entry pages, Twitter backgrounds, banners, and more. For more information, please visit LiveParanormal.com, the official web portal from North America's premier paranormal researcher to you, here in Orville. Please visit ParanOrville.com.
I had a little bit of a problem there with Skype. It booted me out halfway through. Anyway, hi and welcome to another show from the Metaphysical World with Lunar Orbit. We're out of liveparanormal.com and we're live from the UK. It's midnight here. I think it's 7 p.m. American time. Unfortunately, you're just going to have me again this week. Larry's off doing some other work. You just got me. Right, well, I thought I was going to talk about something a bit different this week. But, well, I talked to you about Cornish, being that we're in Cornwall. So, what can I say? Cornish witchcraft. The pronunciation is a little bit dodgy on this one, so I apologise. But the Cornish have their own random for everything. So Cornish witchcraft in is, hopefully I'm this right, Poistri Kernowet. Well, there you go. So anyway, Cornwall has been described as one of the most, the last strongholds of witchcraft in Britain. It's rich in witch lore heritage with many witchcraft traditions, stories, legends, most of which are connected to specific sites and locations in Cornwall. And there are many mysterious ancient sacred sites here, particularly down in the south, Western Cornwall in Penwith. These include stone circles, tombs, standing stones, you name it, we've got it. Okay. Also, we've got mysterious passages, chambers, wells, everything. Now, today, many of these sites retain a deep association with magic, supernatural, healing practices. Some sites have continued unchanged for centuries. So, Cornwall was once a home to many practicing professional witches, who also went under the titles of conjurers, cunning folk. Now, the Pella Current, as it's called, is the name given to a particular expression of witchcraft. Okay, it's characterised by its initial drawing upon Cornish and West Country folk magical traditions. Now, folk magic is not what you would call modern Wicca or pagan. This goes back a lot further and involves more to do with the provision of charms, divinations, healing things, pouches, charm pouches, all that sort of thing, for local people, for clients, as a trade. It was seen as a sort of exchange trade. And people who practiced witchcraft were revered and sometimes for what they did. The Craftanella derived from a repeller of evil is a calling of wise women, cunning men to the old path persuasion, encompassing Christo-pagan and folk ceremonial magical practices, magical protection from ill wishing, healing, exercising, curse, lifting of people, talking divinations, charms, and conjurations of spirits. And it's a craft that's double-edged, right? For the Pella's knowledge and ability in the practices of cursing and counter-cursing are maintained by both. So it's not all good. They also bounced it back the other way. So, well, you know, it's not what I call the fluffy version of witchcraft. So, anyway, as I was saying, a lot of the wise women and cunning men achieved a lot of fame and notoriety, particularly a lady called Tammy Blee. Now, she was around till 1856. And she practiced around the Helston area. Now, if you're not from Cornwall, Helston is down near Penrith, down in the southwest corner of Cornwall. And she is known to have used staff in rituals, hence, you know, staffs are quite common though. She conjured magic circles, and she's also known to have used hallucinogenic substances to aid her trance-induced workings and healing. Herb law, everything like that. Spell breaking, you name it, she did it. And now, many of the charms made by Cornish witches and supplied to their clients consisted of small square bags containing written charms and substances such as magical powders. Now, certain times it's documented that people would queue outside of Tammy's small house in considerable numbers to purchase these charms, new ones, and to have old ones re-empowered, particularly in the springtime when, according to Cornish tradition, a witch's powers are renewed. So, as well as small bags of grave earth, bones, teeth, as well as magical powders, most notably witch powder, shall we call it, she also had a strong reputation for removing curses and healing, working with not only people, but, as I said earlier, cattle, horses. Her powers of sight were also held in high repute, for she would be consulted on the whereabouts, lost or stolen money, and the identity of malevolent witches who would work with spirits. So, now, his work recorded a vast body of traditional Cornish witch lore. Now, this gives a fascinating insight into Tammy and Tammy's practices, which were operated from her household. This is from a book based on the West Country folks to the Pella of Helston. So if I sort of give you a quick blast on this, and we can see what you think. Okay, excuse my throat, I've had this cold flu thing for like the last 2 weeks, so it's a little bit, so you have to excuse if I'm like a bit there. So here we go. According to ancient usage, the folks from many parts of the West Country make their annual pilgrimage to some white witch of repute for the sake of having what they call their protection renewed. The spring is always chosen for this object, because it is believed that when the sun is returning, the Pella has more power to protect them from bad luck than any other season. There used to be rare fun among the folks in going to the conjure in the spring, when they were sure to meet at the wise woman's abode persons of all ages and conditions, many from a great distance. Then the inhabitants of the Scilly Isles came from over in crowds for the purpose of consulting the white witches of Cornwall, and that they might obtain their protection, charms, spells, and counterspells. Many of the captains of vessels belonging to Hale, St. Ives, and Swansea often visited the Pella before they undertook a voyage, so that the seamen and tinners there were sure to be great variety in the company. Though they arrived at the Pellas by the middle of the forenoon, such a crowd was already assembled that they waited long before their turn came to be admitted to the presence of the wise men. The conjurer receive the people and their offerings singly in a room by courtesy styled the hail or hall. Few remained closeted with him for more than half an hour, during which time some were provided with little bags of earth, teeth or bones taken from a grave. These precious relics were sent from the neck for the cure of prevention of fits and other mysterious complaints supposed to be brought on by witchcraft. Others were furnished with a scrap of parchment on which was written the following charm: Sater Arpo Tenent Opera Rotas. These charms were enclosed in a paper curiously folded like a valentine, sealed and suspended from the neck of the ill-wished, spellbound or otherwise ailing person. The last charm is regarded as great power, because the magical words read the same backwards as forwards. The gritty substance called witch powders, that looked very much like pounded brick, was also given to those who required it. An aged crone of the Pell of Blood, mother or sister of the White Witch in chief, received some of the women upstairs to cure such of the least difficult cases. A simple charming would effect, but the greatest part of them preferred the man, as his charms were only powerful enough to bewitch them. Instead of the earthly power, some are furnished with a written charm, which varies according to the feelings of the recipients. Most of the very religious folks have a verse of scripture concluded with the comfortable assurance that by the help of the Lord, the White Witch hopes to do them good. But those who have no particular religious sentiments, he furnishes with a charm, of which the following was a literal copy. Okay, on one side of a bit of paper, about an inch and a half by 1 inch. Nalga. Here follows the picture of what must have been the conjurer's own creation, as such an object was never seen by mortal eyes in the heavens above, the earth beneath, nor the waters under the earth. The only object we can compare it to is something which is a cross between a headless cherub and a spread eagle. Beneath what might have intended for angel or bird, there is an egg on which the creature appears to be brooding. There is another egg at the extremity of one of the outstretched legs of the creature. This picture, which is the most singular part of the charm, could only be represented by the aid of a pencil. The word tetragrammation is under it. On the reverse is written, Jehovah, Jah, Elohim, Shaddai, Adonai, have mercy on a poor woman. From the worn condition of the charm, which had been in the use of many years before it came into our hands, it is difficult to make out the writing. Another amulet, which is commonly given by the peller to his patients to be worn suspended from the neck, is a small bag of earth taken from a man's grave. Besides the above mentioned precious charms, the peller gives his neophytes powders to throw over their children or cattle to preserve them against witchcraft. Ample directions as to the lucky and unlucky times, and a green salve, which is said to be an excellent healing ointment. I have talked with many who have visited the Pella every spring for years running, that they might get the protection renewed, yet there is no finding out of all that takes place at the time of this important pilgrimage, as the directions are given to each individual separately, and all are bound to preserve the greatest secrecy about some portion of the charm, or it will do no good. Others were supplied with bloodstones or snake stones, and others trumpetry manufactured by the Pella family to be worn as amulets. The blue stone rings, in which some fancied they saw the figure of an adder, or when marked with yellow veins the pattern of a snake, were particularly prized, because it is believed that those who wore them were by the means safe from being harmed by any reptile of the serpent tribe, and that man or beast bit or envenomed, being given some water to drink wherein this stone have been infused. would perfectly recover from the poison. The amulets and charms supplied by the White Witch served to tranquilize the diseased fancy, as well as the bread pills, covered waters, and other innocent compounds of more fashionable practitioners, or the holy medals of other professors. There are no new notions under the sun. The only difference is the fashion in which they are disguised. Okay. After dinner, the afternoon was spent in telling witch stories. Everyone present had many cases, each within his own experience, to vouch for. They compared the merits of the different conjurers of repute, and all agreed that none was to pass the Pillar of Helston, not even the Cunning Man of Bodmin nor the White Witch of Exeter. There was more power to lift a spell or to punish a witch, or to find out who had stolen whatever was missed, or to put out the thief's eye. Well, that's quite a long passage from a book which is written all about the Cornish witches based in Helston, and basically describes what would happen when people went to have their charm pouches renewed and to pick up new spells, everything like that. Okay, so what can I say? Sounds all very this is all sort of new for me, because my path was a little bit different. Not quite so much into the charms and the herb lore as the traditional witchcraft goes, but the tradition of Cornish witches commonly included the work of counter cursing and curse lifting, magical protection from ill wishing, the healing of disease and injury of people, divining the whereabouts of items, lost items, uncovering the identity of thieves, also making magical charms, simple rituals, magical gestures, muttering incantations, hands-on healing and distant healing, or absent work, which is still done today. So towards the end of the 19th century, Cornwall became less isolated, more accessible, and influenced by modern ideas. So a decline in Cornish witch practices and beliefs seemed to set in. Fewer people would admit openly to believing in the power of the, shall we call it, ill wish or Pella. However, the practices didn't die out entirely, for Cornwall remained a relatively remote land where folk customs and traditions survived, and concerns regarding supernatural and mysterious influences remained, although to a much lesser extent than in the past. So traditional practitioners still remain today, but few and far between. Then they all sort of like tucked away here in Cornwall, a bit out in the sticks here. And they continue to consult for healing, exercising of ill fortune, provision of charms, magical substances, divination, and general advice. I'll give you an example of a present-day traditional working witch known here in Cornwall, Cassandra Latham. I don't know if anybody's heard of her. She's based, again, down in Penrith in St. Byron. Penrith's south corner, southwestern corner. So she still practices the beliefs and the traditions. I'm just seeing who I've got in the old chat room. Looks a bit quiet in there. Yeah, it looks a bit quiet. So anyway, everybody's heard of Cecil Williams, and I know quite a few people out there are accustomed to our Cecil. So he was around till between 1909 and 1999. Now, he was, for people who don't know, a collector of Cornish West Country witch artifacts, and he was also a practitioner. So he was the founder of the world-famous Witchcraft Museum, which is actually located here in Boscastle, where I am at the moment. Great museum. Now, hopefully, just a little diverse thing, I was chatting to Rob today. Now, Halloween's coming up soon. Now, Lunar Orbis are doing a live broadcast. We do a TV broadcast through our website, and we're supposed to be there on Halloween night. We're doing a broadcast with Graham, who is the curator and owner of the museum, who took over from Cecil when he died in 1999. We're having a chat with him about everything to do with the museum. And then later on in the evening, we're going to do a paranormal investigation, set up some locked off cameras, have a little look around, see what we can find. And we're going to leave the cameras running all night. So I was chatting with Rob about maybe tying in a broadcast for Live Paranormal with us, so you can see what we're up to as well. Or if you can't see, you'll hear. So hopefully we'll get a webcam so you can at least catch some of the action in the museum. And I know people are out at parties on Halloween and we'll probably miss it, but I'm hoping we'll get a replay. And if not, we'll run it back through our website anyway so that people can see it. But it's going to be a good night, I hope. And the night before, we're supposed to be going up onto the cliffs, because for people who don't know, North Cornwall around Boscastle, Tintagel area is very cliffy, wild, woolly. So hoping the weather's okay, we're going up onto the cliffs with Graham and Carrie Ann from the museum and a few of the local pagans, and we're going to carry out a All Hallows Eve or Samhain ritual, the full works, obviously plenty of alcohol in there, got to be the works to celebrate obviously Samhain or Halloween. So we'll be able to tell you all about that. I don't think we're going to film that because out of respect it's not really the sort of done thing, but we will be telling you about that. But All Hallows Eve, Halloween, we will hopefully, if we can sort some up, be live so that you can join in the action. So anyway, totally diverse from what I was talking about then. So Cecil Williamson, founder of the Witchcraft Museum, which used to be located in the Isle of Man, I can't help sniffing. I've had a cold. Someone's complained about my sniffing. I can't help it. I've got a streaming cold. I apologise for my sniffing, everybody. Right, you totally throw me off there. Oh, what was I saying? Yes. Anyway, yep, you totally throw me off there. Yep, right. Cecil, he worked with Gerald Gardner, who introduced him to Dorian Volante, which obviously anybody in the witchcraft circles will know all these names. So at the time, Gardner was developing and publicising the craft of Wicca. Cecil was more interested in the traditional and far simpler ways of what he termed the wayside witchcraft, which is, you know, the proper folk-styly, back-to-roots sort of stuff. These differences led Williamson and Garner to go their separate ways. So Cecil sold the Isle of Man Museum, which was the original witchcraft museum, in the West Country, where Cecil first encountered witchcraft as a child. Now, the Museum of Witchcraft remains today, as I said, survived the Boscastle floods a few years ago, as a few people know from experience. A lot of the artefacts got quite badly damaged, but they all pulled through, and now the museum looks better than it ever did, with some amazing displays. And if you're ever over here, totally worth a visit. So anyway, he set up his museum, and he preserved many of the artefacts used in the craft of the Cornish West Country witch. And you can see these artefacts, the working tools, the charms, everything in the museum. So definitely totally worth a visit. So what I'm going to do now, because I've got to blow my nose, I apologise, is I'm going to play you, I'm going to play you a chant from a CD, which is available from the Museum of Witchcraft or from our shop, which I'll give you the details later. So I hope you enjoy it. This is a traditional sort of folk-styly chant. So if you just give me two ticks, I'll whack it on for you.
Jesus has won. Late in your circle bright, with your wealth of dark and light, earth and fire and water bind us as one. Ladies in your circle bright, with your wealth of dark and light, earth and fire and water bind us as one. Ladies in your circle bright, with your web of dark and light, earth and fire and water bind us as one. Ladies in your circle bright, weave your web of dark and light, earth and fire and water bind us as one. Ladies in your circle bright, weave your web of dark and light, earth and fire and water bind as one. Ladies in your circle bright, weave your web of dark and light, earth and fire and water bind us as one. Ladies in your circle bright, weave your web of dark and light, earth and fire and water bind us as one. Ladies in your circle bright, weave your web of dark and light, earth and fire and water bind us as one. Ladies in your circle bright, weave your web of dark and light, earth and
fire and water, bind us as one. Okay, that was one of many chants you can get off of a CD that's available at the Museum of Witchcraft. It's also available from our shop, Lunar Orbis. So if you want to go on our website, www.lunarorbis.co.uk, or on to the Witchcraft Museum website, which is www.museumwitchcraft.com. I'll play another tune later, which is something totally mad, which is also available on a different CD. But they have a couple of CDs of some chanting, which I find quite relaxing sometimes. We play it in the shop for customers, so please do at least, you know, visit the websites, even if you're not even remotely bothered in buying the CD. It's worth it. Learn a little bit more about the museum, and they got a great slideshow of their artifacts, so you can just learn a little bit more. So anyway, another thing for is a book by a lady called Gemma Gray. Now, whilst Cornwall's got a rich heritage in craft lore, there are very few pagans and magical folk in Cornwall with an interest in the traditional Cornish witchcraft, like I said. Now, worried for the continuation of traditional witchcraft in Cornwall, Our Lady of Grey, she started a Penwith coven. Now, this is slightly less secretive traditionalist coven in which practices are explored. Now, a book called Traditional Witchcraft, A Cornish Book of Ways. Now, I don't know whether you want to Google that or probably find it on Amazon. Was written to sort of further interest within the Cornish pagan community in traditional witchcraft ways as opposed to modern. So that's worth a look as well. Now, I know a lot of interest comes from abroad, because in America you love witchcraft. So if you want to get hold of this book and have a read, it's very enlightening. Gives you a link to obviously Cornwall, Cornish ancestry, the proper practice of witchcraft, and quite a lot of enthusiasm has gone into this book. I've had a read of it. So basically, what can we say? Cornish witchcraft traditionally was a service and a trade for bartering. Not what modern witchcraft is like today. It was providing a service, so it wasn't like evil sort of thing that everybody has in mind and things like that. It was like the village wise woman. She did the herbs, she did the healing, of course the village cunning man as well. They gave advice, they were there to help as opposed to sort of hinder people. It's a practical craft where each practitioner develops certain skills which they use for foresight, spirit conjuration, okay, I think I'm back. That was random. I hope I'm back. Yeah, that's the second time that's done that tonight, and I don't think it's my internet connection, but Skype seems to be bombing me out. Oh well. I hope I'm back, and I hope you can all hear me. Assuming technology is a pain in the arse. And I can, well, it's difficult to say that when you're either a computer engineer as well as a clairvoyant and everything, but hey ho. Yeah, as I was saying, it was a service and a trade, not a hoodoo voodoo type thing. It was to help with healing, charms, preparation of magical substances, everything like that. The power of the use of the Cornish wish was found within the landscape, particularly in the flow of the land. So they were very into their magical sites like the stone circles, and we have actually literally 2 minutes walk from here where I'm broadcasting from. We've got the Rocky Valley Labyrinth, which is a really well known stone. Well, how can you explain it? If you haven't ever seen a labyrinth, it's quite difficult to explain, but there is one carved into some stone up here, and they're very, very old and very powerful magically. But we have one just up the road, and that's on the list of like the places to visit for traditional Cornish stuff. So yeah, they were Cornish witches were into conjuring up spirits as well. And as I said earlier, our Tammy, our white witch of tradition, shall we say, she was very into using herbs for hallucinogenics to bring on that state, like you get Native American shamans and things do, to converse with the spirits, shall we say. Just finally, I'll just sort of add, Cornish traditional witches, they sort of tend to observe a sixfold ritual year as opposed to the modern one. The ritual celebrations relating to this traditional seasonal folk customs and festivals. Now these are, I have to apologise for my pronunciation, Alantide, Montol, Candlemas, which we know, May's Eve, which we know, Golowan, and Goldis. I really do apologise for my pronunciation. That was like at the start when I tried to pronounce the Cornish version of Cornish witchcraft. I'll never pass any language school, I tell you. I had a bit of a trouble with French when I was learning that. So I apologise for any Cornish speaking people out there if I make an absolute balzer of it. So in Penrith, the seasonal energies are embodied by Pengals, which appears during the solstice festivals in the form of a mare skull, led by a figure known as Buka. I think that's how you pronounce it. At midwinter, Buka Du, the black god, presides over Pengals as the vehicle of the winter seasonal energies of death and rebirth. At midsummer, Pengals becomes the vessel for the summer season tide and is led by the white god Buka Du. Now, if anybody can understand a word of what I've just said, congratulations, because I don't. Now, I'm not Cornish by tradition, and I do get a lot of what I call proper job Cornish people who still actually speak the language. So, once again, I am sorry if I've totally driven a bulldozer through your language, but hey, you got to give it a whirl, haven't you? So, as I said, one of the big things that Cornish witches were renowned for were charm pouches. Now, we at Lunar Orbis, we enlist the help of two local Cornish witches, one based down the road towards Newquay called Kenra. Now, quite a few people have probably heard of her. And one based in Boscastle, just up the road here. Now, our two Cornish witches provide us with charm pouches, spell kits, all that sort of thing for the shop. So they purposely make up these lovely little kit bags with certain charms for psychic development, love, protection, health, healing. And Kenra does a really nice pair of hand-fasting charm pouches, you know, one for each. They make a great hand-fasting present. But and also, our Lady Sherry, she makes up some spell kits. Now, obviously, they've been tweaked to fit modern tradition, shall we say. So I can explain to you what's in one of the spell kits. And if you're interested, you can, like I said, go on our website, www.lunarorbis.co.uk, and purchase one on there. I think they're about £7 each, something like that. Or you can pop into the shop if you live anywhere near Cornwall and check them out. So if I give you a basic idea of what a spell kit is, bear in mind they are based on traditional Cornish witchcraft, but they have been tweaked slightly for modern use. So they're not traditional. So here's a good one for you. It's a banish evil spell. Now, it's advised you best perform this when the moon is waning or decreasing and on a Saturday. Now, to me, I never really bother too much with the little details like that, but it's up to you. That's what it says in there. That's what you got to do. But so in each spell kit, you will get a candle. Now, a little beeswax candle, about an inch and a half tall. You'll get a candle holder. You'll get three incense cones and a piece of slate to burn them on, and you'll get in this case, for a banish evil spell, you will get an obsidian crystal, which is wonderful for banishing evil and negativity and all that sort of thing. We've got two great big obsidian balls in the shop which keep the balance nice. They absorb all the negative energies that come into the shop, and we've named them. One's Bob and one's Sarah, but there you go. I'm very into naming my crystals, so probably sound a bit nuts, but there you go. So in this banish evil spell, you get a grey candle, you get an obsidian crystal, you get a grey piece of cord, and you get a black material square, plus you get a sachet of what I call get rid herbs. Now, get rid herbs consist of violet, pine, bay leaf, and sage, probably to name a few others. Okay, so that's what you get, basically the same sort of thing in each spell kit, but the colours and the crystals and the herbs all vary depending on which spell kit you're getting. So in addition to this, you will need a clear area to perform your spell, a small jar with a lid, half filled with water, left outside in the moonlight the night before you cast your spell. You'll also need a pen and a small piece of paper, and obviously half an hour to an hour of undisturbed time, because everybody knows when you do spell work, you shouldn't be disturbed by anything, because you're drawing in energies into the room where you're working, and the last thing you want after you've cast your circle or you don't want people barging in the middle of what you're doing. And you don't want people disturbing your train of thought and your energies and your intent. You want to be focused on what you're doing. So, you know, make sure the house is empty, or shut the door, hang a little note on it saying, do not disturb. And, well, there are other reasons why you can hang a note on the door saying that, but in this case, that's what you need. So, to prepare your spell, spend some time familiarising yourself with the spell contents, which isn't difficult because there isn't a lot in there. Lay them all out in front of you. Lay out your black material on the area you're using and bring in your jar from outside. Make sure you read through your spell first so you've got it in your mind, because obviously, you know, each spell kit gets a particular spell that you have to read out. Make sure you've read through it a few times so you know where you're at. Okay, now you're ready. So, first thing you got to do. Okay, place an incense cone on the slate. Okay, light it. Place it in the centre of the black material towards the back. Sprinkle a small amount of herbs around the cone. Pick up your paper and pen. On the paper, write what you wish to rid your life of, what you wish to banish. Okay, this could be a person, situation, a bad habit, anything like that. Now, try to limit yourself to a few words so you don't confuse things. Fold the paper 3 times, then write get rid across it. Tie it firmly with the grey cord that you've got in the spell pouch. Place it in the middle of the black material. Okay. Place the candle in the holder. Sprinkle a small amount of the herbs around the holder. Light the candle and place it to the left of the folded paper. Okay. Sprinkle some herbs into the jar of water and place this to the right of the folded paper. Okay. Hold the obsidian, the piece of obsidian crystal, in your hands. Visualize a circle around you, a barrier that cannot be passed. Pass the obsidian through the smoke of the candle and say these words. Okay. By the power of water, air, earth and fire, I declare, insert the name, the word, the whatever you want, is not my desire. You serve me not to get rid, go from me, and it harms none, so mote it be. Okay, now place the obsidian on the top of the folded paper and sprinkle over it the last of the herbs. Wait for the candle to burn down, which shouldn't take long because it's only a small candle, and keep picturing this protective barrier around you as the flame disappears. Imagine the person, the problem, the spirit, whatever you're trying to move, getting further and further away from you. Okay, once the candle has cooled, collect together the remains and the herbs you've used. Place these with the folded paper into the jar of water. Close the jar and loosely bury it in the ground for 21 days somewhere close by. Every 7 days after you've performed this spell, okay, burn one of the cones. Spend some time recreating that protective barrier whilst you're burning this cone. After 21 days, or when you are sure you are well rid, unearth the jar, empty the contents or the remains onto the ground and cover. Don't forget to recycle your jar as well, by the way. And keep the obsidian with you in your pocket or your purse or round your neck and handle it often for protection. Okay? Please note this spell will bear no harm to any person, hopefully. And simply gets the message across, go away, leave me alone, back off. Okay, now, obviously that's been tweaked a little bit for modern society, shall we say, but it's basically based on Cornish traditional witchcraft. So, like I said, if you want one of those spells, they're available in our shop or via the website, once again, www.lunarorbis.co.uk. Or you can ring the shop on 01840 779121. The CDs are available from the shop again. I think they're priced at about £12-13. They're also available from the Museum of Witchcraft, which is at www.museumofwitchcraft.com. What else can I say? I know it's been a bit of a sort of blurb. I keep getting cut off on the Skype, so I hope I'm still with everybody. If not, it's going to be a bit awkward. Just spent the last half an hour talking to me and the dog. But there you go. I'm going to totally randomly play you another tune from a different CD. Again, folk music. But this one is performed by Graham King, who is the curator and owner of the Museum of Witchcraft, and Kerry Ann, who works in the museum. It's quite bizarre. It's based on it's reconstructed from traditional sources by a guy called Rob Graves, and it's the music's been put to it, or the tune, shall we say, because no music to it, it's a chant. The tune's been put to it by Graham, and it's based on a Beltane folk tale, if you like. So it's kind of a chant slash song type thing. But what I'll do is I'll play it, see what you think, and if you like it, you can get it on CD from the museum. So if you just give me two ticks, I'll see if I can find it for you. Okay.
Oh, I shall go into a hair with sorrow and sighing and mickle care. And I shall go in the devil's name till I be fetched home again, till I be fetched home again.
Oh, hare, take heed of the bitch greyhound, who will hurry thee all these cells around. For here come I in our lady's name, for to fetch thee home again, for to fetch thee home again.
Cunning and dart he did not lack, but I her whistle would fetch him back. I her whistle would fetch him back. Yes, I shall go into a trout with sorrow and sighing and mickle doubt, and show thee many a merry game ere I be fetched home again, ere I be fetched home again.
Oh, trout, take heed of an otter lank, who will hurry thee close from bank to bank. For here come I in our lady's name, for to fetch thee home again, for to fetch thee home again.
Cunning and art he did not lack, but I her whistle would fetch him back, I her whistle would fetch him back. Yes, I shall go into a bee with mickle horror and dread of thee, and flit to hive in the devil's name, ere I be fetched home again, ere I be fetched home again.
Oh, bee, take heed of the swallow hen, who will harry thee close both butt and ben. For here come I in our lady's name, for to fetch thee home again, for to fetch thee home again.
Cunning and art he did not lack, but I her whistle would fetch him back, I her whistle would fetch him back. Yet I shall go into a mouse and haste me unto the miller's house, there in his corn to have good game, ere I be fetched home again, ere I be fetched home again.
Oh, mouse, take heed of a white-tipped cat that never was forced a mouse or rat, for crack your bones in our lady's name, thus shall you again.
Right, well, once again, Skype cut off near the end of that, so you only really missed like the last sort of 30 seconds of it. But, wow, it's a real pain in the butt in tonight, this Skype. God knows why. I mean, hey, it's technology for you. So, yeah, that was a tune, a chant, performed by Graham and Kerri-Anne from the Museum of Witchcraft. And if you know these people, it's quite funny because you really can't imagine them being able to sing. But don't tell them I said that, by the way. So it's quite bizarre, but it's an interesting tune. Lyrics are very, very interesting. You can get this on a CD called Songs of Witchcraft and Magic, which is produced especially for the Museum of Witchcraft, priced at about £12-13. It's available from the museum, direct from their website, www.museumofwitchcraft.com, or from lunarorbis.co.uk. As is, if you want any of the information tonight from the book or anything like that, please do email us. Let us know. Not a problem. We could email you back, or I'll put it on the forum, actually. We've got a Lunar Orbis forum on the Live Paranormal site. So I'll bung it up on there tomorrow. And if you want a recreation of the spell that I read out earlier, I could probably email that to you or pop that up on the forum if anybody's interested. Probably not, because I don't actually know if anybody's listening to me at the moment. You probably all got bored and gone home, turned us off. So that'll all be up on the forum. And if you want to know anything else, please do ask. I can direct you to Kenra's site. I think it's www.kenracraftskerno.co.uk. She'll be able to tell you a little bit more about her work. She does make a lot of staffs, wands, spirit. She does spirit stones, herbal pouches, you name it, she does it. All based on traditional witchcraft and things like that. Cornish witchcraft. Tweaked again slightly to suit the modern tradition, shall we say. So, to recap, I know it's been a bit brief this evening because I'm on my own. Larry is not here. Larry's back up in Gloucestershire doing another house clearance, ridding somebody of a lovely spirit, shall we say. Actually ridding somebody of three lovely spirits in their house. One of them wasn't overly keen on going, apparently, as he told me earlier on the phone. He had a little bit of trouble. He had to call in a medium friend of ours who came to Woodchester last weekend. A rich leech. Now, he's really good. He actually sees spirit, and like the Ghost Whisperer program, if you like. So he actually sees them, and he came in, and between the pair of them, they managed to nuke the three spirits in the house, send them to light, whatever you want to call it. One of them tried to morph into a dog so that it could stay, because the lady who owned the house said, if it's a dog, it can stay, that's fine. So it changed into a dog. But, you know, you got to be aware of spirits are rather cheeky, shall we say. They'll do whatever they can to stay if they want to stay. So always be aware of that. So, yeah, Larry's not here. So it's just been me. Hey-ho. And what can I say? Next week's show, I'm open to ideas. Larry will be back next week. So we will talk about some exciting between the two of us and hold your attention a little bit more. Give me a bit of a break. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about. I know we've got an aura party for a spiritual development group on Saturday, so we may discuss that. Also, Tuesday, before we do the show, we're going to be down in Southwest Cornwall in Mevagissey doing a mind body spirit show. So we're taking the camera, we're taking the crystals, we're going to be doing readings, all that sort of thing. So if you want to come along, if you're in Cornwall, pop down. It starts at 10, I think it's at the Activity Centre. So we're doing that. Halloween, like I said, hopefully we will be broadcasting our Halloween adventures at the Museum of Witchcraft live to you on Live Paranormal. Plus, we will be doing a visual on our website through our TV thing. So if anybody wants to join in on one or the other, please feel free discussing it with Rob. So hopefully we will get that sorted. And as I said earlier, the night before that, we're doing a Samhain ritual with Graham and Kerri-Anne from the Museum of Witchcraft, Clifftop Ritual, the full works, obviously with plenty of mulled wine flowing. I know I've been asked to call a quarter, but I'm not sure if I really sort of up to that, but I could give it a go. So we will be telling you about that on our show after Halloween or on Halloween if we end up doing one. Finally, just to say, it's been an interesting learning curve for me to read into a little bit about Cornish witchcraft, being that I'm actually sort of based down here now and our shop's based down here. It's nice to find out a little bit about the traditions. I'm hoping that when we go to the museum, Graham will be able to tell people a little bit more about it, because obviously he's very in depth with it, and Kerri-Anne will be able to tell you a little bit more. Might be able to get a live performance out of them of their chant, who knows. So I'm just going to wrap it up now, because I've got about a minute left, and I know coming after me is Of Myth and Magic with Jade and Crow. They started their debut show last week. Great show. Must listen to it. So if you want to hang on, they're going to be on straight after me. I don't know what they're talking about this week, but hey, hope it's going to be interesting. And thank you all for listening. I apologise for my sniffing halfway through, but I've had this cold. But hopefully it'll be gone by next week. And thank you and good night.
Go.
This is Live Paranormal Radio, brought to you by LiveParanormal.com, the number one interactive online community for everything paranormal, horror, and sci-fi.
Technical difficulties, and then Skype was not being polite to me, so.
And what he said was definitely not repeatable. Hi, I'm JD.
Hey, Christy. That's supposed to stop.
What's supposed to stop?
Well, apparently it's not stopping. Well, that's odd. Well, that's why I'm hearing it again. I'm hearing the lag coming from the room because I forgot to log out of the radio station myself. So I was listening to myself and being as egotistical as I possibly could be. How's that for you?
Well, all right then.
So can everybody hear us right out there? Hey, Oak Tree Biker, we know that's Jess. Hi, Jess.
Hey.
Hey. Let us know, you know, tell us if the volume's too loud, too soft, whichever you want to tell us. If you can even hear us at all.
We're not getting very fast responses, but I suppose that's...
Well, we're waiting on the lag here.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you hear some banging around in the background, that's our cameraman. He's still setting up a couple pieces of equipment. And we're starting tonight with the first show of a cable access show that we in cahoots with our friend Lee. He's going to put us on for 2 hours a week on, I think it's five stations or something around the cities. More details on that as we get all the links and everything in.
So So what he's here for tonight is he's trying to pick up some footage from us. And so he can take it down to the station manager and say, hey, this is what it's about. This is what they do. But this is just them right there in the studio doing the radio show. So here's what it is and here's what it's about. And so, yeah, he'll be joining us here at the studio, Guilty Creatures. And
we're going to take a break in a little while, and I'll just have him mic up, and he's going to ask him some questions, answer some questions. I'm not sure if we have – let's see. We do not have our switchboard person in right now. Do we have a mod that can do the switchboard for us?
And I'm not seeing our usual helper. Okay. We're not.
Do we have a mod in the room?
And
welcome to everybody on Blog Talk Radio. We don't want to forget you guys.
Yes,
if you want to interact with us on chat, come on over to liveparanormal.com. And if you don't have a profile, create one, log into the room, and join in the festivities there. It's a lively, lively room, and everybody is really welcoming and nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you want to give me a minute here? Apparently we've got some people that don't know how to grab our radio show, and we don't have anybody posting it.
Oh, sure. I can just sit here and talk to myself for a little while.
Okay, well, then never mind. Never mind. Somebody's already taken care of it.
Okay.
Excellent. Yeah, so here we are. Second show. We had three or four topics lined up to talk about tonight. Don't give me that look. You know I trip over my own tongue. Anyway, so just on the sideline, I think we should give you some tidbits from the sixth world. What do you say, Crow? What do you think there, Crow? We'll give them some tidbits from the sixth world.
Well, you give them the tidbits, and I'll give you the side chatter. How's that sound? I have no idea what you're talking about. What's the sixth world thing you're wanting to talk about this week? I mean, last week it was the graphene and various other stuff. What are you talking about this time?
Well, I thought, you know what? We'll come back to that.
No, there's no coming back to it. What is it?
No, we'll come back to it. I thought this was supposed to be his subject.
My subject?
I handed you the notes. Let me take a look at it.
There's notes here.
There are notes. I see how it is. All right. Well, in that case. We'll just move on to the next one.
That's me turning the notes, just in case you wanted to know. That's paper right next to this.
Yeah, he's not actually picking his notes. Promise. No, actually what I wanted to talk about with the sixth world, we had briefly touched on that as far as what it means and what brought about the sixth world as far as this particular storyline is concerned. And just like Roger Lazat, here we go again. Okay. Roger Zelazny. Maybe you should do all the talking, and I'll just go over here and make faces.
Well, at this point in time, your mind is so chaotic, there's no way I could read it even if I was dyslexic.
I'm not trying to have you.
Okay, whatever. Roger Zelazny wrote the Amber series back in the 60s and 70s, and that's one of the best sci-fi fantasy novels you could ever read. And he talks about the dimensional shift between chaos and order and everything in between. The name of Amber is actually the city that the people of order actually exist in, and it's the closest thing to reality. You cannot shift shadow, and shadows are the little slices of the dimensions in between chaos and order. Now, this you take this into consideration with today's world, the things that we're seeing emerge. Sarah had talked about it on her show on Scary Sundays. It was the cryptids and the gigantic squids and all these other mythical monsters like Chupacabra and stuff like that. He takes into account and says that these things can exist in all these other slices of reality, these other shifting shadows that the people of Amber can actually change however they want, whenever they want, conveniently enough, but it's a great story engine. But what we're looking at is things can exist in multidimensional creatures, and as Star Trek, as far as Star Trek and various other shows that deal with dimensional travel, wormholes and things like that, these things could exist. So the veil of reality, the veil between reality and the spirit world, we don't know how thin or thick it is. We don't know what can come through. And it's a matter now of just studying as much as you can about things. I'm really impressed with the people in this room in liveparanormal.com. They do their research. They ask really, really intelligent questions. We have our after parties and stuff like that where everybody mics up at once. And we have nice general discussions about things. And we make things kind of a little weird at night, but it brings a lot of things to mind on subjects that we can cover in the whole thing. And I think what JD is getting at in the sixth world type of thing that we had talked about before was, I have no idea.
Okay. Just a side note, Lee's telling me that he's not getting any sound back to his camera.
No sound back to his camera.
Well, no, is he plugged
the sound
in?
Is good in my headphones.
Yeah, no.
No, on your camera.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want to make sure you're plugged in over here. So, anyway, as far as the sixth world, it's a hypothetical thing.
Hypothetical.
I'm trying to talk here, man. I know I'm failing this. Shut up.
Okay, just so you all know, we had some like little technical difficulties. We had to run around the apartment building and stuff because JD locked herself out like a minute before I started calling in. And when I was calling in, Skype wouldn't let me go through and do
and
anything.
And I kind of bit my tongue.
Yeah, so.
As I was running up to the stairs. Don't
anyway, worry. Okay.
So the sixth world, all those possibilities of cryptids, could they happen? We'll be getting into that at some point, you know, any of that. But for tonight, we've got a little treat. Crow is going to go on one of his favorite little things, a nice little birdie walk rant. And we came across something a little while ago called the New American Constitution, the way it should read.
Well, I know everybody hates getting those stupid forwards from all their friends.
But this
they're
is
just
the we
stupid ones that just, you know, they make absolutely no sense. But you have to trudge through like 5,000 of them before you ever get to your work emails. I had one of those, but it was from my mom, so I actually had to read it. And she had forwarded it from somebody else and whatnot. And it comes down to the New American Constitution. I have to take in consideration that this was composed and sent around back in around 2003. But the new articles of the Constitution, as they would pertain to today, and I am going to briefly read them to you as fast as I possibly can, so just pay attention as best you can. Article 1, you do not have the right to a new car, a big screen TV, or any other form of wealth. More power to you if you can legally acquire them, but no one is guaranteeing anything. Article 2, you do not have the right to never be offended. This country is based on freedom, and that means freedom for everyone, not just you. You may leave the room, turn the channel, express a different opinion, etc., but the world is full of idiots and probably always will be, and like the rest of us, you need to simply deal with it. Article 3, you do not have the right to be free from harm. If you stick a screwdriver in your eye, learn to be more careful. Do not expect the tool manufacturer to make you and all your relatives independently wealthy. Article 4, you do not have the right to free food and housing. Americans are the most charitable people to be found and will gladly help anyone in need, but we are quickly growing weary of subsidizing generation after generation of professional couch potatoes who achieve nothing more than the creation of another generation of professional couch potatoes. Article 5, you do not have the right to free health care. That would be nice, but from the looks of public housing, we're just not interested in public health care, apparently. Article 6, you do not have the right to physically harm other people. If you kidnap, rape, intentionally maim, or kill someone, do not be surprised if the rest of us want to see you fry in the electric chair or any other capital punishment. Article 7, you do not have the right to the possessions of others. If you do rob, cheat, or coerce away the goods or services of other citizens, don't be surprised if the rest of us get together and lock you away in a place where you still won't have the right to a big screen color TV, pool tables, weight rooms, and other life of leisure. Article 8, you do not have the right to a job. All of us sure want you to have a job and will gladly help you along in hard times, but we expect you to take advantage of the opportunities of part-time jobs, education, and vocational training laid before you to make yourself useful. Article 9, you do not have the right to happiness. Being an American means that you have the right to pursue happiness, which, by the way, is a lot easier if you are unencumbered by an overabundance of idiotic laws created by those of you who were confused by the Bill of Rights. Article 10, this is an English-speaking country. We don't care where you are from. We welcome you here. English is our language, and like the one you left behind, we also have a culture. Learn it or go back to the country and the living conditions you were fleeing. Now, that being said, I do take issue with a few of those articles and how they're worded, but as a general rule, what I've been seeing all over this country and listening to radio stations and reading newspapers, magazines, and internet websites, and JD pulls up Yahoo News all the time. Sorry about the pop in the microphone. She pulls up Yahoo News all the time, and she reads me these whacked-out articles. I think overall, your rights as an American or any other citizen of any other country end where they infringe upon the rights of another. Who agrees? We got a show of hands in the studio.
We welcome comments, yay, nay, or indifferent. We don't care. We just thought it would be something fun to share with you because the person that wrote this actually wrote it in good humor. But it's, you know, it's kind of that back to the common sense and the basics, you know, it's all good. It wasn't necessarily to set out to offend anybody. And, of course, We hear J.D. and Crow on LiveParanormal.com, and anybody listening in on Blog Talk Radio that happens to be hearing this show, we want you to know that our program does not necessarily... the views that we express here are not necessarily those of Live Paranormal Radio and within the program chats. Not all this represents their views personally.
In other words, Rob and Abel are saved. We're just a couple of jack wagons that decided to express an opinion on something.
So we just figured we'd try and stir up the pot a little bit here and see if we can get some controversy going. Actually, not in so much tonight. But
okay, sorry. I'm sorry, Oak Tree Biker. I will reamend that. It's bad English is our language of choice, and you should choose to learn to speak it, I guess.
Word.
we only know two languages around here, apparently. But see, that's the same thing in the French provinces of Canada,
mm-hmm.
in France, Spain. Spanish is like, if you don't understand, I've been there.
Right.
If you don't understand it, you're in trouble. If you're going to live there and don't understand it, you're really in trouble. So you go down to Mexico, you're going to live there for any length of time, you want to learn Spanish. You go to any of these countries and won't spend any time there. But I'm coming across people here in the States that have been here for 15 years and haven't learned any more than a couple words in English, and it disturbs me. But my issues aside on that, I think what it does boil down to is what we're seeing in the rooms and the news and everything is the fact that everybody is expecting that this Bill of Rights is protecting every one of their rights, even if they do something wrong, and that's absolutely and positively wrong. Your rights do end where they infringe upon another. So, I mean, it's a matter of just being human, and we've had to deal with some issues with personal issues with people, and some people have come into various chat rooms we've been in or whatever. It's just the way it is. I mean, I'm sorry. That's life. And we're having a hard time understanding that everywhere else. So.
Well, just so you know, we're not trying to get like super uber political or anything like that. We can do that off on the sideline.
I'll let Scotty handle that.
Well, yeah. And besides, Big Daddy would love to take that topic on, I'm sure, with both horns. On a side note, to go hand in hand with that, Thursday on the Yahoo side of things, this little headline came up, and I thought I'd share it with you because I find it just ironic, stupid, and funny all at the same time. Apparently, there's a group out there, and this is on Thursday, called PEM, Parents for Ethical Marketing. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, parentsforethicalmarketing.org has put out this big old boycott thingy for Target. Now, we all know that Target got themselves into some recent trouble here in Minnesota because they made a big old contribution to a certain candidate that... Well, you can look it up, okay? We'll get back. You guys can just look it up. But anyway, they're all over Target's red spot right now again because they're saying that Target is insulting moms, helping daughters find the perfect sexy costumes.
Are you kidding me?
I wish I was.
Okay, I know what they deem sexy costumes, and a lot of the ones you see in just the websites that are popping up now coming up on Halloween. If any parent lets their child, like 10 years or older, or, I shouldn't say that. I should say 14 years or younger, wear that, because if they're 15 and older, they're probably going to do it whether you know about it or not. But
yeah,
14 and under, if you find out about that and you don't punish that child severely, you're in trouble. If you allow them to wear it, you're in trouble. That is wrong. Oh, my God.
They did actually have photos up. I mean, you can literally look this up. It's on their blog.
So they're dealing in child porn.
Well, I got to tell you, the pictures that I saw, it's kind of questionable. I mean, these basically look like 12, 13-year-old girls, but they look like they're trying to dress about 19, 20.
Yeah.
I got to admit, I was kind of like, well, okay, I get it. The little baby doll dresses and, just low enough to be still legally called a skirt.
That is so wrong. I'm sorry. I don't care. If I had a little girl, I've got a 19-year-old son. That's one thing. He can dress whatever he wants. But
know.
If I had a 13, 14-year-old girl, no.
You know what? With it. All I know is I'm kind of glad I didn't have a daughter because I don't know what I would have done. I think I would have definitely had a nervous breakdown.
And I just got hit. This is how good I am. I just got his mic set up. So we've got Lee in the studio, too. This is Lee Lauer. He's our cameraman and, I guess, producer for the TV show that's going to be coming out. I think we're going to try and have it on the air by, like, Monday, isn't it, Lee?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing.
All right. If you guys are having problems hearing Lee, just let us know.
Yeah.
Hey.
So.
Yeah, well, and the thing with me is, are they allowed to wear this in school? I mean,
I doubt it.
How
are they getting out of the house with this stuff, and what are they doing in the meantime?
Well, my thought
school,
is,
who's going to buy it for them?
Who's buying it for them? You know, I mean, really.
Parents.
But, you know, you can't really say that because we were out at the Mall of America just 2 weeks ago for this job, and I see this little 7-8-year-old dressed in stuff that I would have almost been too embarrassed to wear at 17. I said almost too embarrassed. The 80s were a different time frame. You got by with a lot of things you weren't supposed to. Yes, I know. You guys already know how old I am, so get over it. But, you know, it is kind of a shocking thing. It's like, you know, it's at one extreme to the other. Okay, so now that we're off that, sorry.
Okay, we are 20 minutes into it. You know, I think what we're looking at here now is let's get this back to the metaphysical world
okay.
a little bit.
So, yeah, now that we've birdwalked everywhere and we wanted to try and get Leah a chance to hook up his headphones here and hear what we're talking about.
Okay, well, this is my lead into Lee is this. I had talked to Scotty Roberts, and he and I have some projects in development, and JD included, and I decided I was going to talk to Lee about that, too, and let him know, and we worked it out where I talked to Scotty yesterday, and I think we're going to be doing a extended interview with Scotty Roberts, and I'm going to ask him as many hard-hitting questions as I possibly can and keep him on the microphone recording the whole thing for as long as I can. I wish we could have scheduled it where he could have been here doing a show from our, you know, from our studio, but it didn't work out. But this interview will be exclusively on the TV show, and that is going to be posted online on their website, if I remember right.
Right. Yeah.
So if you can access it and watch the show, and there's going to be a lot more content added to it. There's going to be some TV spots added in, some interview questions about, you know, for us and what we're doing, and I think we're going to basically try and, you know, sell some more Tamil hair books with Scotty because I really, really love that book and the artwork.
And it'll be a couple weeks before the show will actually hit regular scheduling on the website. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just give it a few weeks before you start looking for the scheduling of our show. Show.
Okay.
It's all in the scheduling.
That's correct.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, we got a couple minutes here. I want to give a shout out. I see we got quite a few people in the room at the moment. And so, hello to Robert and Roberts. That would be the beautiful Miss Rainey. Mrs. Rainey Roberts, that is. Abel, where are you lurking? We could use your help, man. Hi, Rob and KJ. And we've got Scotty Roberts there and Anthony, Christy Lee, Rue, Catters, and Sue. Oak Tree Biker, that would be our friend Jess, my home slice from here in Minnesota, who decided to defect to Missouri. And shout out to South, Bawadu, Shaman John, Muggsy, and I'm glad to have you guys all here. I know we've got a lot of other people out there that are listening on the Blog Talk side of the radio as well that we cannot see who you are tuned in, but that's okay. We're glad that you have you here. We love the fact that you're tuning into us and our antics, and some days we have something great to say. Sometimes we're just acting like a bunch of hats. We'll just leave it at that. Yes. So anyway, I see the clothing thing has started a bit of a discussion in the room. That's great. You know, we'd love to have your feedback on that. And, Christy, actually, you're probably not too far from my home slice, Jess, there. She's actually over in the St. Louis side of things.
Oh, no, it's a Missouri homecoming.
I know.
Oh, no.
Let the fun begin. Holy crap.
I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a break here for, I think, a couple minutes on the bumpers that are in here. When we come back, I'm going to grill JD, and I think Lee is going to grill JD on a thing called the Intender's Handbook. And it is one of the it's metaphysical, because if any of you have listened to me talk about it before, which I'm sure I've repeated myself a multitude of times to y'all, and you're all sick and tired of hearing me say this, but everything you do, magic, spell casting of any kind, UFOs, matrixing while you're on an investigation, or actually seeing something on an investigation, or hearing something, all of this stuff is 98 or 99% intent. What you intend to do. Sometimes you fabricate it, sometimes it comes to you, and sometimes it's not real, sometimes it is real. And I'm saying this for Abel. I don't want him to get too upset about the whole thing. So,
We don't want Lord of the Chat Rob coming down on our butt either.
Yep,
you know, he does have the power.
Right. This is not. We'll get to that after the break. I need to go grab something to drink for sure.
Okay. Well, let's run those bumpers and get a bleh, coffee going.
Get some coffee.
Live Paranormal Radio is the place to be, so join us at liveparanormal.com.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is Live Paranormal Radio, brought to you by LiveParanormal.com, the number one interactive online community for everything paranormal, horror, and sci-fi.
And we are back. I'm thinking that I'm going to end up having to sit here and talk to you wonderful folks by myself for a minute or two because they're trying to get some kind of a beverage issue sorted out here. So,
no, we don't.
What I was saying before about the Intenders book is it's something that a friend of mine had pointed out to us, and my mom even got in on it before JD did, and she got us kind of wrapped up in it. And, oh, she's back. Hey, I will turn it back over to JD and let her at least explain the introduction to this whole thing.
All right. Well, the Intenders Club, yes, I had heard about it actually from Crow's mom here a while back. And what the Intenders Club, the Intenders Circle, if you will, what this is it was based on the idea and the concept that the power of the mind is much more powerful than anything else out there. And this is how this fits into our whole about the sixth world and all these good things out there. Now, the funny thing is I'd been hearing about this for probably a year or two, and I happened to be picking up a part-time job at a printing place where they, you know, do books and stuff. And my home slice there just knows about that place called Bang Printing. And anyway, so while I was there, I came across this because we happened to be printing a whole other shipment of this to be sent out. It's called The Intenders Handbook. It's by Tony Burrows. And you can find this online. They've got websites devoted to it everywhere. You can just do a search on it. What it gets down to, the basic belief, you create the world that always supports you. And the concept is so simple that most people get hung up in the details. What this whole concept of the Intenders Club is, or this Intenders Circle, is that it's based on the power of the mind, the power of positive thinking, the power of manifesting the things that are going on in your life for a higher purpose, for a higher good. Now, I will tell you right now, as I've said it before,
apparently we're back. Skype has given us the same problem as given Luna. So bear with us, people. I appreciate your patience. It just booted straight out of Skype. So
give us the big one, too. Okay. Well, I'll do this quickly, and hopefully we won't miss anything. Simply put, our thoughts create our world. We intend what we want. We think about it, therefore we create our world. The intention process, it sounds really simple, but actually it's as simple as reprogramming how you see the world. And this is something you have to do for yourself. And a good example, simply put, is the biggest thing that they stress here is not religion. It's how you see the world and where you put your own set of thoughts. If you say, gosh, I don't want to get sick today, guess what? You're going to be sick by the end of the day anyway. You know why? Because you were thinking about being sick.
No, this is not a black and white instant fix all. What she's saying is that it's a matter of building up that power of the positive thought instead of giving that middle ground of, oh, I hope not, you know not. That's what it boils down to, as far as I can tell.
It's I'm going on a trip, and gee, I hope I can get through the trip. I hope I don't have an accident. I hope nobody runs into me. What you're doing is you're taking back yourself, your self-empowerment. You're taking away the power from the negative and putting it back into something positive. It's, instead of saying that, you're saying, I intend to take this trip. It's going to be a joyful, relaxing trip. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to get there. I'm going to have great weather. I'm going to have ice cream. I'm going to have cake. I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do, right? But you do not throw those negatives out there, because the minute you throw them in there, that's those little monkey bars. It's taking the power away from Murphy, you know, that little snot that I keep trying to catch, and I keep trying to lock him up here at my studio. I've got a special little vault for him. If I can get him back in there, I'm putting him back in his straps and his straitjacket, and we are going to keep him locked up. And if I can help it, but I need some help with that, and that means it starts right here. And this is something I thought I'd share with you people, with all my paranormal family here, is to share this concept of the Intenders Club. Now, there's circles all over the U.S., lots of cities, lots of states, and I got to tell you, some of the questions that come up, what should I wear to an Intenders Circle? Well, some people are coming from work. It's a variety. I mean, you're not set to a certain uniform. You're not set to a certain set of beliefs. Can you bring your children to the Intenders Club, this Intenders Circle? Absolutely. Why not?
Okay, so it's just basically a gathering of people to sit and talk.
Yes.
Okay, and talk positively.
It's the idea of changing how you talk positive.
Without having to think about it, just how it naturally happens.
Right.
Right, okay. Now,
sense.
Here's my question for you.
Sure.
How would you apply that to an investigation? How would you apply that? Okay, so you, hypothetically speaking, we go down to Winona or Red Wing or St. you know, St. Louis or someplace and do an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you apply that to the investigation, to the team?
I think I would apply it in this sense. I will go in. I will investigate. I will maintain standards. I will remember all my equipment. I will process all footage and audio when I get home in a timely fashion, and I will enjoy what I find.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
I'm kind of wondering if that positivity isn't going to attract the entities that you're trying to show that are there. I mean, if you're trying to, I mean, and that might be scary on the other end. If you're projecting negative, you might be even possibly, and I'm not the guy to listen to. I'm
throwing in opinions. You raise a really good point.
But I'm wondering if you go into one of these with a crummy day, I mean, maybe you're kind of at risk because you're kind of in a negative zone. And I don't know that, I mean, I kind of think entities are attracted to us. And I'm thinking that they're either positive or negative, and I'm assuming neutral too, but I don't want the negative ones, that's for sure. So
okay, that brings me to a question for you. It's going to kind of deviate from the whole Intenders thing, but
this is a good point.
What do you guys think about the fact of, is it a location that's haunted or people that are haunted? I mean, you go back to Paranormal Activity, and that woman was followed around by the spirit, this demon or whatever it was, this hellspawn or whatever you want to call it. Now, I personally know that a spirit can attach itself to you at some point, but is it that person that's going to be haunted for the rest of their life?
I sure hope not. And I don't know. I have the same question, too. I actually believe in physical, what is it, residue from, you know, some emotional trauma, leaving traces on physical things, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't know other than that. And, you know, but there is a thing with adolescent teens, too, when they go through that transition, can produce poltergeist activity, too.
Yeah.
So
the increase in hormones and adrenaline,
right,
and stuff, yeah. What about you, Jetty?
I think that your own personal energy has a lot to do with everything that you are doing. If you are having a bad day, I do agree. I think that you will, it kind of goes back to that, you get what you give. If you're giving off a really negative vibe, who's to say you're not going to attract something that's just a little darker, a little more negative?
Yeah, but that wasn't
if
my question. My question was, is it a person haunted or a place haunted?
I think it can be both.
Okay,
that's always
been my view.
I really do, because there are some people that are just like magnets for it.
Yeah.
Okay?
And do you think the sign they were born under or the specific time or date might have something to do with it?
I don't think so. I mean, if you're born on a lunar alignment with, like, you know, all 20 billion planets in the galaxy aligned and stuff, that might have some major significance on it. But as I don't know. That one's kind
of... You know, like a seventh son of a seventh son type of thing.
Right. The 20 billion planets or whatever I'm lining up is basically what it boils down to. Yeah. I mean, maybe. I don't know if that's the issue or not. But I think what... The sign that you're born under can give you more sensitivity, but I don't know if it really makes that big of a difference, if it's that big of a differential between somebody who was born under a different sign or...
Yeah,
you know,
and it definitely wouldn't make you haunted or being pursued by
right.
an entity, but maybe it's something that you did in your life. But, you know, I don't know. That's my question.
Well, that goes into reincarnation and stuff like that,
wow,
too.
And
so,
I
yeah.
have no idea what I think about that.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll have we'll get that out of you at some point here, Lee. But I'm
that's why I'm with you.
You know, it's definitely a lot to think about, and you know, I realize an hour is a very short amount of time to touch on a lot of the things that we throw out there. I will put notes up on our Facebook page. If you haven't joined our Facebook page for Of Myth and Magic, please do. It is open. You can invite your friends. Invite your non-friends. We don't care. Join us. You can follow us on Twitter, too. Same thing. But as far as that goes, I will put notes up on where to find all the stuff we've been talking about. And as far as that new American Constitution idea thing that Crow threw out earlier, in the good humor of what it is, we are going to go ahead and put that up as a note as well. You're welcome to go ahead, copy, paste, pass it along. It's fine. I can't take credit for writing it. Crow did not write it. We're just passing it along. It's like one of those weird chain letters that kind of gets passed along
and it's
over
brand new
and over.
For me, so I'm
yeah.
very cool.
But, yeah, so, I mean, as far as that goes, yeah, I think people, back to the whole question, people, land locations, buildings themselves, maybe an article itself becomes so energized with energy from a given person because they're, you know, just this literally walking bundle of energy. Maybe somehow they are infusing part of who they are into an article and it becomes haunted too.
And two, I wonder about a location. So say a building is haunted. Well, what if that building is removed and a new building goes up?
Yeah.
Is there a possibility that new building will be haunted as well?
Yeah. Are they attached to the land or are they attached
right.
to the building? That's
right.
always a good question.
Yeah, it is. It's really big.
So. Oh, Paratero, what's this? Please join. I hate you non-friends, but join. Oh, Paratero, one of our favorite little friends here that comes in, and she shoots me some of the funniest questions. I absolutely love her humor. As a matter of fact, I see a lot of familiar names here in the room, and we have a great deal of fun chatting with them. Sometimes it's the insomniac hour after everybody else is gone to bed like normal people do, and we can't because we just got too many ideas running through our head and we just got to go with it. So anyway, but you know, we welcome your ideas. We don't care if you disagree with us because we're not here to make you agree with everything we're talking about. We're just here to throw some ideas out. We're here to get you thinking. And the best thing I can do is make you think for yourself, because this world that we live in, I'm sorry, I am very strong in my belief that we've been living in a spoon-fed society too long where we want everything to be the easy way out. Nobody has any intellectual curiosity to go out there, get off their couch, get off their favorite chair, and go find what they need to for themselves. There's more to life than the Cartoon Channel Network and the comic books, and I will be the first one to tell you, I am a cartoon addict. I shut my cable off so I would get out and get back into life. I actually became very addicted to cartoons last winter. I absolutely love anime and cartoons. It literally sucks the living soul out of you. You don't want to leave. It is worse than World of Warcraft, which I do not play.
And I'm addicted to Archer. If you've seen that, that's like ridiculously hilarious and,
yeah.
and
well,
offensive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, cable, do you remember the stories back in the day where they said the TV was the devil?
Yes, yes, I was.
Okay, we
want
to talk about. I want to talk about this. Is that okay with everybody?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, I remember back in the day. I mean, seriously, when I was a little kid. And shut up, Jess. I know you know how old I am, but anyway, On a side note, no, seriously, do you remember those stories where it's like, oh, you can't let your kids watch so much TV, it's the devil, they're feeding you all this crap,
yeah.
The sound waves are going to rot the brain, and they just go on and on and on, right? And, yes, Animaniacs, Jess, Animaniacs, we love them. Baby squirrels on crack. Jess is my good friend that used to go to, I've known her since she was 16.
Oh, okay, wow.
And she's far from 16 now. But, yeah, you know, I remember that. And I remember getting, now, okay, my grandparents on one side were of the Pentecostal evangelical denomination, right? Okay.
Yeah, or
and do you remember those little pamphlets they gave out? You know, they're about two by three. Yeah, the little tracks.
And they stick them under the
windshield
wipers.
Yeah, and that was the ones that I used to get. And it was like, oh, my God. The TV is evil, and this is how they're going to feed you the devil and everything.
Well, yeah,
the
and they would even come out
bad.
Of the posters that if your teenager hung a poster of Ozzy, I mean, at night he's at risk of the spirits coming
exactly.
out and getting him in his sleep. Or,
yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah.
Crow?
I like Ozzy.
Well,
we
too.
Like Ozzy too, but I mean, come
if
on.
He came out of the poster and started coming after me, I'd ask him some questions.
Hey, as a teen in youth group, that's what we were told, you know, and that's been, you know.
Well, exactly. And of course, being raised Roman Catholic, I felt guilty if anything ever went right. So it didn't matter what great things happened to me. I mean, oh my God, what did you do? You know, you're going to pay for it later because you don't deserve that. Okay.
We do have a caller, Funky Bob. And I'm going to put him on. I'm not sure if...
I'm hoping this goes through. We usually
have
hang
on. That's why I didn't
it.
Realize there was anybody on the calls right now.
So we apologize if you've been trying to call in. And we're kind of winging it one more time here, getting the control of everything.
I set the confusion in motion. I was
okay.
late.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to put him on.
Okay,
we'll take
cool.
a chance. It's a roulette wheel.
Woo-hoo.
Hello, Funky Bob.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
There
hey.
You are, Bob. How are you?
Oh, you know, it's been a bit of a weird old day. I must admit, it's a weird old day. It's a bit of a weird one because I kind of know what's down for me now. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But unfortunately, the bloodlines of Cain don't like it very much.
So did you have a question, Bob?
Yeah, I did. I'm kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I did. I was wondering whether, because I'm always ringing in, and the paranormal, I'm just realizing that it's normal, the paranormal.
It's normal.
It's just normal. Right?
Fair enough.
And I'm playing the spirit. I wanted to get your view on the divining rod because I've got this set of divining rods that feel like extensions to my arm and are giving me answers to absolutely everything. And it's like so scary. Like I've been able to map out all my past lives with who they were, with maps, photos, and being able to map it all out.
I would be curious to know what these divining rods look like.
You know, it's like the coat hangers that people use
when
they
like
across water. But you see, you can program those to look for absolutely anything, right?
I have known many people like that can use those. So the fact that you're telling me doesn't really surprise me.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, you heard of Lavender.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she did a reading for me, and she told me that some eye-popping stuff, right?
Okay.
Which I can't really go into too much detail on the radio, but if you have a peek of your chat room is safe, so I can write a little bit in there for you, right?
Sure.
But I can't say it on the phone.
Right.
Right?
I would recommend not to.
Yeah.
No, but the typing is fine. The chat room is fine. So you can. I'll do something for that in a bit. But the thing is, my question is, right? I've had all my blocks removed, right?
Mm-hmm.
All my blocks removed from my chakras, right?
Right.
And that I got told that I can do some healing, right?
Oh, cool.
Now I don't know how to do healing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't got time to read a book, right? How to do healing, because it's another new language. And I've got so many new languages to learn as it is, right?
It's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming, right? So I leave it to the experts kind of thing. And obviously that's why I ring in from time to time, because you're the paranormal. So obviously you know that the paranormal is just normal. I mean, you must know, but it's hidden. But it's also hidden from everyone. Yeah. And if anyone knew that they could just talk to their grandfather, dead grandfather that's been dead for 30 years, at any time they want, and get guided tours around places that he's worked. I've had a guided tour by my great-great-great-great-grandfather around a brewery that he's worked at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right? Tell me what and where and how, where he used to work and everything.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want us just to give you our take on the divining rods themselves?
Yeah, I was asking about the divining rods because they're like magical in my hands.
Well, what it came down to for me was that my grandpa taught me something about it. I've never really pursued it, and it's similar to doing stuff like pendulum crystal work and things like that.
Yeah, the divining rods were £97 in 1969, which makes them £3,700 in today's money. It's not; they're not a pair of coat hangers. They are
they're definitely something else. But the thing of it is what we're getting at is we do believe that the divining rods do work. We actually know people that have done this. Actually, the area that Crow grew up in. They have a well drilling company that absolutely will not go out and dig for wells until they've had the guy come out.
Okay. Well, I go with that. You see, because I've been finding some wells and stuff. I found some wells the other day, but you see, I couldn't find. I was asked to find one well, because I'm hoping to make a little bit of a living out of this. I was asked to find one well, but it was dry. You see, and I was struggling to find.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll get back to. I'll catch up with you a little later, and we'll talk about
that
separately.
Please have a check the chat room out. I'm going to write some stuff in it now that will make your eyes pop. But you don't talk about this on the phone. On the
liveparanormal.com, in the liveparanormal.com website.
Okay.
That's where we're going to be chatting after the show and stuff. So
yes, you can definitely.
Bear with me a sec. I've got to find out. Hold on 2 secs, right? 2 secs, because I've got to find out whether your site's secure.
Secure.
Otherwise, you can definitely email me directly. That works better.
Yeah, your website's secure.
Okay. Yep. Come on.
It's secure. I just used the dowsing rods to ask me whether your website was secure.
Come in and. Come in and ask questions in there, my friend. We're going to hang up, and we're going to move on with the rest of the show. We'll answer your questions about the divining rod in the room, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Bob.
For calling in,
you
Bob.
Have a great night.
It.
Pleasure. Have a great day yourselves, guys. Always a you pleasure too. Talking to my cousins from over the pond.
Okay, right. Bye-bye, Bob.
Have a good night. Okay.
Well, that was interesting. Divining rods. Really quick, we're running out of time here quickly. I was taught with a willow branch, and I've seen people use multiple different types of metals on the rods that they use.
here we are, 12 years old again.
I told you, I'm like a 12-year-old. But the dowsing rods themselves, they do have some qualities to them. I can't deny it because,
Absolutely. Granted,
the earth is 95% water, 98% water, whatever the percentage is this week. But the fact is that it's not a matter of if you can find water, because you can dig anywhere you want to dig, and you're probably going to dig far enough, you'll find water. But most of the divining rod water finders that I have met can tell you about how far down you have to dig, and they've been pretty accurate within inches.
That's crazy to me.
So, I mean, I've seen them where one guy was walking along, and he had two just basically bent steel rods, and when he got near the water and it was pretty close to the surface, they started spinning in his hands, and it was just insane. He dug down a couple feet, boom, he was in the water. So that's my take on the divining rods.
And that's all I know of divining rods, and I was surprised to hear him say that he had found out about past lives and was doing any kind of divination through them. I mean, is it a matter of yes and no questions?
Yes. Okay. Well, a lot of the times it is, and you can actually get more intense responses and stuff. It's kind of like doing, like I said, pendulum work and various other divining things, because, I mean, you can use at that point, you can use a coin and flip it into a concentric circle mat.
Right.
And where it lands in that mat will tell you, you know, your answers too. There's divining, divination is something that's just ancient and eternal.
Right.
There's always going to be people wanting to find answers in an easier way or a more, you know, ethereal way. And
The I Ching seems to work for me.
Yeah. The I Ching? Use the I Ching?
Yeah, it's almost scary.
Results. Interesting. Okay, we'll have to talk about that more some other time.
That's an easy one to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, changes, so, yeah.
Even Jeff said that. She said even her grandfather did the same thing back at the old farm up north.
No, they called it witching. Yeah. That's what my grandpa called it. It was witching water.
Yeah, my grandmother. My grandmother did that.
Yep.
On my mom's side.
And, of course, there's a whole handful of traditions and myths that go hand in hand with witching for water and looking down the water for down at the water in the well for future predictions and so on.
Well, I'll tell you what, for what I think, since we're coming into the last 5 minutes of the show, and we're close to the last 5 minutes of the show. We're going to do is we're going to do something that's suggested to me by one of our moderators, Monkey.
Uh-huh.
She suggested maybe starting more, wrap things up around 3 minutes too.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm thinking is that I'm going to make a unilateral decision. I don't care what you say, JD. And Lee, you know, you can produce the TV show, but I have an idea. I think what I want to do, and just the fact that Jess made me think about it coming in here, because she and I have had many, 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 many long, fun discussions about Jung versus Freud.
Oh, God, now, it's all your fault, Jess.
Here's what I'm thinking about doing next week as the topic of the entire show.
Oh, really?
I have an odd, the way I read tarot cards, and before anybody asks, I don't do remote readings except for very special people, and we'll talk about that more some other time. But since most of the studies you read and the books that you read that involve the tarot cards, they refer to Jung, I'm thinking about doing part of the show on the tarot cards and my unique way, because JD had taught me my original way of doing the cards, the Rider-Waite process for doing it, and I went my own complete direction, and it's something I found that is very unique to me that not many other people, I mean, I've only met maybe one other person that's ever done cards like I do. So I'll go into more discussion about how I do it. I'll get JD to talk about it, and we might even throw Lee on the mic and see what he thinks.
Yeah, I'll be impressed, because I'm all right. Impressed.
And then to balance the whole argument out, I found a paper in my collection of books that I've been digging around for a long time. It's out of print in most of the books. I think there might be one. I'm still looking for the periodicals and stuff that might have it in it. But it's Freud paper on paranormal occurrences, and it's – I have to look at the date here quick. Hang on.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the publication of this one, the last one was in 1993, so that's a long time ago when you think about it in the context of things.
And I had been graduated for 2 years. Yeah.
But
so
let's advertise our age,
Lee. Freud and Jung would think about reading the tarot cards?
So, yeah, well, no, it's not. It doesn't necessarily get on the tarot cards, but it's just overall paranormal.
Okay.
And
I'm very curious.
Yeah, so am I. I mean, I haven't had a chance to read it more. I've gotten about halfway through it, but I think I'd like to talk about that one a little bit more. And if Jess does come back into the room, I'd like to have her call in and tear me a new one while she's telling me where I'm wrong, because she knows Freud and she knows psychology better than anybody I know. If I wanted to dream interpret it, I talked to her, and she gave me the logical reasons, the illogical reasons, and then she told me to buy her a cup of coffee and shut up. So,
we got good coffee here in the studio.
Yeah,
try.
So that's what I'm thinking. If anybody has any you know, ideas to add on to it, JD, I'll let you add on to it, but I'm not going to let you veto it. How's that sound?
You know what?
It's
I'll the let
no
you get...
pigeonhole veto clause.
Are you going to actually do a layout in the studio? Or are you going to do and give us a little insight on something?
Yeah,
or are you just going to explain
it?
I'm curious.
No, what he's getting at is I got to give up my space
layout
here on the table.
Uh-huh.
He's going to take over not just his own desk over there, which, by the way, everyone in the room, his desk, seriously, 2-foot by 6-foot tabletop.
And it's just
okay?
Loaded with beer.
And it
it's
weighs,
crazy.
Seriously, I'm saying close to 200 pounds. Okay, that's not enough. Now, I've got this long, extended table that I have converted into a desk.
Which you will see
he's
if you...
He's going to take over that just so he can do this, because that's what Crow does. He just takes over wherever he goes.
Yeah, but see, then the thing is that, you know, if we do that, yeah, I get to the end of her table.
Yeah, but, you know,
I win.
All right, well, I'll let you get by with it this time.
Okay. I think what we're going to do is we'll wrap it up. I want to thank everybody. I'm sorry. I think there's some – I think they just hung up too. Hang on. Nope. Okay. They got
Okay.
They got dumped off there. Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. We'll have to.
Skype is being a real pain in the butt. So yeah.
But we only got dumped once, so that's good. That's
a
wonderful
thing. It's
getting
better. It's getting better. We got to feed the Skype demons instead of starving them, because when we starve them, they come back in and take over our chat room.
What is going to happen tonight is Scotty Roberts is going to be coming on. We have Shaman John right after us, and there's the open mic time, and I believe I'm going to be miking up for that. I think Lee might be sticking around for that too.
Yeah,
it'd be like another couple hours.
Yeah, well, I don't know about a couple hours, but I'll be around.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, we'll talk. And if you guys want to ask some questions when we're in that open mic time too, feel free. This is Crow.
And this is JD. And Lee.
Yeah, this is me. I had a great time, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. Yeah, we figured we'd get that out of the way because we never know when the bumpers are going to kick in. They've been really, really unpredictable. But we do appreciate you coming in.
I do want you guys to all stick around for Scotty Roberts' show tonight. He is really pumped up for this new episode.
I heard what he's going to be talking about, but I can't tell you.
And the schedule is off to the left of the chat room, so just take a look over there and it tells you the times. That's all Eastern Standard Time, so. All right?
So, yeah, stick around. Shaman John's up next. We got an open mic mixer. Okay, it's time for me to go. I'm starting to slur and bite my tongue again. And then at 10 o'clock Central Standard Time, Scotty Roberts, Big Daddy. So,
right.
Yeah, we look forward to having you come back in, and I think we're going to bounce out so Shaman John has a chance to get hooked up and stuff. Knowing how things are going, we want to give him enough time, right?
Right. All right, guys, you have a great week.
Thanks so much. We'll talk
to you soon and keep you all updated as soon as we know more.
You bet. Have a great night.
Have a great night, people.
Hasta la vista.
LP Web Design, 100% custom website. This is Live Paranormal Radio, brought to you by LiveParanormal.com, the number one interactive online community for everything paranormal, horror, and sci-fi. LP Web Design, 100% custom website, entry pages, Twitter backgrounds, banners, and more. For more information, please visit LiveParanormal.com, the official web designer of the stars. Paranormal Radio, please contact us at LiveParanormal.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. Tonight I have a fantastic guest. It is international medium Lizzie Starr. As we wait for her to call in, if you are new to Live Paranormal, please create a profile so that you can join us in chat. Fill out all the info on the profile. You can get pretty detailed. Got a lot of great stuff going on there. I'd like to say hello to everybody joining us in the chat and to everybody that is listening to us later on in the archives. I'm just going to go ahead and grab her. Hey, Lizzie.
Hi, darling. How are you? Yes,
I'm
here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Can
Hi.
You hear me?
Oh, yes, wonderful. Thank you, sweetie pie. I had two different times on. I have 9:05 on the computer and not 9 o'clock yet on the on the phone. So I'm thinking, which one is right here? So if I'm late, just forgive me.
Oh, you're right on time.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I would like to send out a thank you for joining me on Live Paranormal.
That's my pleasure. Anytime.
Oh, and for those of you that don't know Lizzie, she is a beautiful, wonderful, fantastic, awesome. Not only is she a medium, but she's a great friend. You can find her all over BTR. She has a beautiful website, which I'll get to in a little while. And so instead of doing a regular call-in show, I thought we would get to know Lizzie better. So, so I'm just going to throw out a few questions that some people have asked that they really don't know about you. So to start
okay.
it off, when did you know that you had abilities?
Well, I was a little girl and lived in a beautiful little village in England. You know, in the time where you were not afraid to let your children out. And I used to go visit my grandma. I was only 5 years old, and she lost her son. And she used to take me along to the graveyard with her. And she'd talk to her son. And I'd talk along with her, thinking nothing of it, just thinking it was natural and normal. And as she was talking with her son, my uncle, I used to dance on the other ones, and I could see all these people, and I would talk to them and ask them how they were, and I didn't realize, and if I did, I think I would have been scared stiff, but I didn't. I just didn't realize that these people had passed over. I just thought this was their houses. That's how stupid I was, you know, so I'm thinking, oh, okay, and then, you know, I used to see little children's faces an awful lot, and one day I was in my house, and it was just coming dusk, and I was seeing this little girl at the window, and I was waving at her, and she was waving back, and my mum said, "Who are you waving at?" And I said, "That little girl." She said, "Oh, that's your imagination." And of course, you know, you're a little girl, you believe it. So I was a little bit disappointed because I thought these were my friends, you know, like, you know, you've heard children many times say they have a friend, you know, a spirit friend. But in those days, it wasn't the sort of thing that you spoke about. So anyway, the next evening, here comes the little girl, and she was waving at me. And I said to my mum, "I'm not waving, but she's waving back." And she said, "Don't be silly. That's your imagination." So it was quite difficult in those days because mums and dads and people of that age group, they did not talk about spirits, and it wasn't a thing that was really talked about. So I just grew up knowing I was a little different, but really didn't realize how I was different. But I just didn't fit into the sort of friends that were, you know, at school and around. I seemed to be like that lady who twitched her nose, you know, that genie, and sort of made things different happen for myself. So I lived in a world of very different circumstances, if you like. It was like a world of magical, mystical, magical. And it was really beautiful. So I enjoyed my life as a child tremendously. I was brought up in a house of four children at the time, and then my mum had two more later. But it was all love because my mum and dad, they were not really poor, but they were not rich by any means. But we was like just above the poverty level, if you like, you know, just making it. But you don't realize that when you're a child. And my mum and dad used to do things with us, you know, and we were happy kids, and we just loved. I lived in the countryside, so I learned an awful lot about nature, about little angels and stuff, you know, little fairies and stuff. And I loved the woods. I used to talk to the trees and the flowers and even the leaves that had fallen to the floor. So you can see I was quite different.
Not on my side of the fence.
But I was a nature girl, and I am to this very day. I absolutely adore the garden. I speak to the flowers still. You know, and I tell them how beautiful they are, and I see their aura. I am so connected to Mother Nature. It's beautiful. I find, and I say thank you to them every day because I feel like I'm a very, very blessed soul just to be able to understand love, if you like, you know, because love is the all-encompassing thing. If we haven't got love, then we're lost, or we're empty, as I would call it. But I was brought up on that love and that light, and it saw me through to the time where I started to realize the gift was really there. And it took me quite by surprise. And I didn't really know what to do with it. A lot like children being born today, you know, the psychic kids, they don't know where to turn, but at least now the world is opening up to them. So I just went on and developed and developed and developed, and obviously went to the college in England and went from there.
Wow. What's the college like? A lot of people don't even know it exists.
Well, it's a college that was left to all spiritual people by a gentleman called Arthur Findlay. And he was a beautiful medium himself. And it's like a beautiful, it's like a very big estate house, like a castle, if you will, set in its own beautiful grounds. And it's very, very different. And if you are spiritual or if you are not, when you walk in, there's an ambiance. It's absolutely incredible, the energy. And it, by the third day, when the tutors are tutoring and the students are being taught, no one can teach and no one can be taught, because the energy of the spirit is so fantastic that you just sort of cry, or you just can't connect. It's so overwhelmingly beautiful. After that, we just sail away. But this is the most fantastic college that I've ever been in, and I have traveled the world. I've been very lucky. It is a sort of place where you go, and you, when you come out, it's as if you've come into a different place, to this earth plane. You just don't want to be in this open space again. You want to stay there because it's like home. The spirits are so alive and so beautiful. And the tutors are absolutely wonderful. And in my day when I was there, tutors did not get paid. This was a free, you know, you did it for free because we wanted to encourage spirituality. And the tutors got paid in as much as if you needed a reading, of course, or a healing, you know, you would pay for that. They would get their money that way. But this college is built on love. And it is through that love that the teachings are done. And they start at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they finish at 8 o'clock on the evening, and it's really packed. And the knowledge that comes from it is very, very unique. I have never been anywhere that I can say that I would really, really, truly love to teach and go back to. It's fantastic. And I think you can see from how I'm telling you that this is my life. This college is absolutely beautiful. And it teaches, even the tarot cards, it teaches that. There's a massive healing center. You know, there's everything and anything to do with metaphysics. They have a beautiful museum upstairs in one of the rooms, and it even shows ectoplasm. It really is the most incredible place. And there's a lot of American people visited there. And we do America Week, Swiss Week, German Week, French Week, whatever. But it's ongoing throughout the year, and it never stops. And it's the most incredible, incredible way to do the training right. Because if you are a medium or a psychic or anyone who people depend on, it's very important, I do believe anyway, and the way I was trained, to be very honest and be very truthful and only give what you receive, no matter what it is you receive, give it to that person, because we're trained. It is nothing for you, Elizabeth. It is for the person with you. And they teach you who you are. And you think, you know, you go in this beautiful, magnificent place, and they bring from you what already exists within you. So you already have this gift, or even if you don't have it, they will show you how you can develop and how you can bring it forward and how you can move it along into your life. And so I had this gift, but they just showed me and directed me and guided me to the right way, how to use it, to always respect the person who you are talking with, to always deeply respect the spirit world, and to give a reading as you would so like to receive one, with love. And that's the college.
I'm blessed to not only know you, but Jennifer Doyle and a few others that have attended Findlay. And it's amazing just you know, sitting and talking, and I love the fact that there's a place people can actually go that is considered a college and that they can learn. like you said, whether they have a gift or not, they can, you know, go there.
They can
and
go
either...
enjoy. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, we had some people from Holland when we was there, and they could not even speak the language, but they didn't need to. You know, the language mm-hmm. of the spirit was very strong. And because of the love within that college and the love of the tutors and also the students themselves, the tremendous amount of love, there was no need for language. And these people just got through it so beautiful. And it seemed to be the language of love, and that's the most precious language in the world. So, like you say, it's a blessing. And I know that Jennifer's been there, and she understands what I'm talking about. And I know that you do. So maybe one day you may get that privilege of going there and enjoying the pleasures of it. It's beautiful.
It's on my to-do list.
Pretty high up there, darling, high.
It is. Enough to be able to look at some of the books and some of the stuff Jennifer's brought back. We've actually got one of the medium trumpets that we use.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I was trained with it. Oh, what a joy to know someone knows what it is. when I went and sat in the circle for this trumpet, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, go on then. You know, I was at that age, and it was, excuse me, they put the trumpet in the middle of the room. And, of course, then the medium started to put their energy around it. And all of a sudden, a voice came from the trumpet, and I'm thinking, oh, where did that come from? That's magic. I was like a child at Disney. but you actually have one?
Yes, Jen brought it back from Finley with her.
Oh, my goodness. She must have been so blessed to pick that one up.
Yeah, we even
so
had one of
the... So how long did she go for?
Oh, I... Honestly, I don't know.
Okay, she's blessed to go there. I'm so pleased somebody else has been that knows all about it. So you obviously know a lot about the Finley College then, right?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes, yes, yes. I can't wait to go.
Oh.
I'm hoping
to
be a
speaker. Oh, my God. You know what? I was going to say they won't let you come home. They'll love you. You're just going to fit in there like strawberries and cream. They will just love you, absolutely love you. Oh, my goodness. Wonderful.
We even have
so
one
Jennifer
of the...
Did go on.
Did you get to work with the double chalkboards that are in the sack?
Oh, yes.
We even have one of those.
Oh, my goodness. You are so blessed. Absolutely. You know, it's been, oh, God, 20 years since I've been back to the college, but, you know, every day it's within my soul. It's like... It's my home, if you like. It's the most beautiful place, and I'm sure Jennifer must feel the same. If she's as passionate as me about it, that is.
Yes, she is. She actually was going to go back this year, but she ended up going to be in the international, or she's in that thing in Russia. I can't believe I just fumbled that. She's been gone so long.
How's she doing?
For those of you that No, the trumpet that we're talking about is a tool that mediums use, and we use it during seances. We place it in the middle of the table, and when the energy gets high enough in a room, they can levitate, and spirit voices actually are manifested and are able to speak through that.
And that's for real, because I was
that?
There. You know, that is for real. That is for real because I heard it. And I was really, to say I was medium and all that stuff, that was a little bit pushing the envelope for me because I've never seen it before and I'd never seen it done. And when it really had the voices coming through, that just put me into a different dimension. Also, there was the most incredible lady there, and she changed the... This is going away from the trumpet, but she was doing... you know, when the spirit come into the body and take over, the trance medium? And mm-hmm. she turned into, this lady turned into a gentleman. I'm not joking. Before my eyes, she just changed features, completely changed her features. And I'm sitting there like, whoa, I was blown away. But I was only young also, you know, I've come a long way since then. But it really, truly amazed me.
Yeah, actually, during one of the seances that we've had, I've actually seen similar things happen. It's pretty cool.
Oh, it's wonderful. Well, you know, I didn't, being young, and, you know, these things were all new to me, obviously, because I was being trained. But it blew my mind away because it was right, really, it was like magic. It was like somebody was creating magic. But you could, and also, this is another beautiful thing that happened at the college, too. When you've already done your training, you know, the tutors always give you something to say thank you. So they did like this. Everybody sat in a massive circle, you know, three or four rows wide. And there was a table in the middle. And there were three mediums that put one finger on the table. And they were the ones who were communicating with the spirit, get this, who was going to pick the table up and take it for a walk. So I'm thinking, yeah, you know, sitting there thinking this is never going to happen, you know. So anyway, here's these mediums with one finger, and the one medium who was connecting to the spirit, who was going to lift the table, absolutely did it before my eyes. It was incredible. So what she said to the people was, okay, we have the contact, the spirit is about to lift the table, please take your finger off the table. So all three of them withdrew, but held the energy with the spirit. And this lady, the table just lifted, not too high, lifted gently, took it down the steps, down the hall, back up the hall, up the steps, and put it back where it came from. And I'm thinking, okay, so where's the wires? I was still not believing. But, you know, these incredible tutors, they just, you know, when I asked all the questions, they said, Elizabeth, you are not where we need you yet. You know, when you get to realize this is spiritually done, that you will understand where it all comes from. And, of course, as the years progressed and I could do it myself, I'm thinking, this is just incredible. And this is the sort of training and teaching that I haven't seen anywhere else. I don't know about you, but I haven't ever seen these teachings like this before.
No, luckily, when I was a kid, I had an aunt that used to hold seances all the time. And, you know, I'd walk through, and it was no big deal. I'd just see a table floating or, you know, her in trance and stuff like that. And then later on, it's like it's probably like 2 years ago, my dad reminded me of all that stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, I was a part of that as a kid. I don't even remember. And now we've had some seances here, and we've had things on the table move. We haven't got the trumpet to go up yet, and the chalkboard, hasn't had anything in it yet, but you know, when Jen gets back, we'll work on that a little more.
It'll work. You just have to have the right energy and the right timing, I do believe, because it really is wonderful. And it's if you do it, you need to video it, because it really is incredible, absolutely incredible. It's a thing where people say, yeah. They've put a tape to it, you know. It's that beautiful and that incredible. It's way beyond a lot of people's comprehension, but it's real, because I did it, and I've been there, and I've seen it, and I've done it. So I can hold my hand up and say, folks, this is absolutely real. Spirit, do talk through, you know, the trumpet. It is wonderful.
Yeah, we had a small spirit circle with some of the kids during one of our gatherings for kids with special gifts, psychic kids.
Right.
And they wanted to see what it was like to kind of have a seance, so we got them together, and you know, we started to record it, and one of the girls didn't want to be on the recording. She was shy, so I shut the camera off. Not 5 minutes after that camera went off, every single paranormal equipment I had skyrocketed,
right. And
the kids, they were, I had to shut the meters off, because they were just going crazy. Then we had both. I took the batteries out, and they still lit up, and the kids gave some awesome, awesome readings. They were so connected. It was so much fun.
Doesn't that make you proud, you know,
to
know that the kids can do it, and also they can do it with someone who knows their comfort zone, who knows all about it, and who is there for them and takes away their fear. This is incredible, because the children of today are absolutely incredible, and thank goodness they've got people like us that can help them to understand, because not all of them enjoy it, because it scares a lot of them. But if they can be brought together, you know, if they can just be brought under one roof to enjoy life together, much like the project I'm doing with this college that I'm trying to build with Bradham, it's my dream to put one of these, like, I know it cannot be Harry Potter, but like the Harry Potter school, if you like, on that theme of magic and mystery, if you like, but for the kids to come along and to all be in the same place at once, you know, and to share their stories and to help each other on with their gifts, because we are changing into a new and different world, and it will be very spiritual and very higher consciousness. So it's very exciting what's happening, and I am so excited to be a part of it. I'm just so pleased and blessed to be here to be a part of what's going to happen and what is already happening, and I know you are.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
24/7.
Yeah, me too, darling.
We had
24/7.
Yeah, that's for those that do know us. We have a great group of people that we got all working together, trying to help the kids. You know, giving them. A lot of them don't understand the basics, the rules. You know, there's rules to being, you know, in doing and using their gifts. And so we try to get all that together, working with the parents. We had that one weekend when we did the seance, that we had quite a few parents walk out of that room, true believers of what their kids can do. And, you know, that's
wonderful.
The biggest, you know, getting the parents the awareness, teaching them how to help, you know, to work with them, not against them.
Exactly. Because if we weren't there for them, then really and truly these kids are not going to grow with who they are and what they are. And so the Spirit will find people like you and I to help these children, and even to help adults too, because it is those adults that are living alongside these children. And if they give the kids their support and love, that's all the children need to just thrive on this beautiful gift.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a miracle. I absolutely enjoy it, and I know you do. It's what we do, and we do it with the greatest of love for these kids and for everybody else, I do believe. It's just a wonderful thing. We're so blessed, aren't we?
Yes. They never cease to amaze me, no matter, you know, if it's a group I've been working with for a while or just, you know, someone that I just found me on the Internet or whatever. It's just, it's amazing.
And isn't it amazing how they find you as well?
Yeah,
how
it is,
actually. How the Spirit guide them to you, yeah. How the Spirit just guide them to your door. Yeah,
yep.
I bet.
My door, my phone, my port phone.
Oh, don't talk to me about electrics, darling, because I have none. I think I have about 32 computers all in the garage waiting to be going to the, you know, wherever they go. I'll drain the batteries. I'll drain the phone. Nobody will let me touch their phone. I have a million friends, and they won't let me make a call because I drain it.
Yep. I've actually got it, so I'm pretty good during the, you know, regular business hours, but when I start talking spiritual stuff, my phones go. That's why I have two available at all times, so if I drain the batteries in one, I've got the next for a spare. But when we're doing spiritual talking or something like the radio shows, they go down pretty quick.
Yes, mine's going down quite quickly right now, but I always say to the Spirit before I start, now look, guys, we're doing work this evening. Can you just make the batteries last till at least we're finished? And they're very good. You know, they're quite good with us. So we're very blessed in that respect.
Yes, we are. Very much so. I got another question for you.
Oh, you do? Okay, fire away.
You. I happen to be playing on your site.
Right.
And there is a video have up. It's also in, if you go to my Live Paranormal, and I think if you go to the forums, actually, my show listing's got
right.
that video listed on there, and you were talking
right.
about there about unconditional love, and I was wondering if
right.
that is something you feel that is very important to humanity.
Well, you know, it's wonderful you should ask about that, because unconditional love is who God is, right? And we are all a part of God because he made us in his image. And no matter which way you go around it, the spirit is the spirit, and we all come from that. And God is unconditional love. He never judges us. And our biggest fall down in this life is we either are not loved or we don't understand love. And when we get it, we don't know how to hold on to it sometimes. So this is a new wave also of love that's coming in for all of humanity to understand that we need to love each other. First, we have to love ourselves unconditionally. Unconditionally love ourselves. Get rid of all the fear. There's no need for it. And stress and depression and all this stuff that comes around. Because if you love yourself, you are a healer. Because there is a part that the spirit will say to you, healer, heal thyself. The body is capable of healing itself. And if you truly believe, it will work for you. The greatest healer in the whole of the galaxies and universe is love, because that is what the universe and the galaxies are made up of. So this unconditional love that we give to one another, or should do, we fall very, very short on it, because the world is in terrible disarray and lacking love so badly. Now, it's okay to fall in love. There's a million different things we could call unconditional love or love. You know, you're loved when you come into this world by your parents unconditionally. Well, the majority, because the world is going crazy right now. And this unconditional love is the format and your foundation for life. Now, if you are not so loved, or you don't show that love, or you're not brought up with that love, it's very difficult as you grow up to connect to that love. And this is why I do believe a lot of marriages and a lot of friendships fail, because it's so easy to go around the corner and get a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend, and it's okay. But it's not okay. You know, we need to get back to really looking at who we are, because we've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten what life's all about. And we've forgotten to respect and honor ourselves, so as we are then capable of respecting and honoring our fellow member. You know, and it is through this unconditional love, I do believe, that we have to work on, wake up and start remembering, because life that we live right now, folks, is called remembering. I've always said it from the day I was a little girl, it is about remembering. And we come in with our memories wiped clean and we forget. But that is why we're here, is to see if we can do what we're meant to do before we came here. We already knew what we're coming for, but obviously we have the memory clean. So it is with unconditional love that I do believe I was brought up with, because my mum and dad really did show an awful lot of love, is the way I am today and always have been. I love children. I love the universe. I love the plants, the flowers, the air we breathe, everything, the sky, the moon, the lot. It's all love, and it encompasses my whole being. When I do a reading, I give it with the greatest love that's possible. I respect you and I love you, and this is the unconditional love that I work with and around. And if we could just spread that out into the humanity itself, just one step at a time, one person at a time, we would be doing God's work, because God is love and love is who we are. Our makeup, our genes, our DNA is love. It's what we came here for. And I do believe that's what love is, that's what life is about, is love. Because if you smile to another person, they feel something from you. It's like a cold, you know, they're going to catch it. So if you smile and say good morning, that person feels your love and they look at you as if to say, okay, good morning, you know. And then maybe they may just get that love and think, I'll say good morning to someone else, or maybe it'll just pass them by. We don't know. It's all according to the level of love they permit themselves or understand in themselves. And I do believe it's starting now to exude into the world, and I hope it starts to hurry up, because I always say that this world is in foreclosure and we need to wake up and save it, because when you are in foreclosure to your home, you know, down the line somewhere you can pick yourself up and buy another home. Guys, we cannot buy another world. We need to respect her, to love her, and to look after her. And the biggest thing we can do for Mother Earth and the nature and all of the heavens above, the galaxies and the dimensions, the aliens and all whoever is up there and around us, is to respect them and to love them. Because when you give, so shall you receive. And I'm off my pedestal now. Did that explain it well enough?
Yes. I was going to say, we ought to be writing that down. You should write all down and post it.
Right. Well, you know, I speak, as I'm speaking with you, obviously, as well, you know, the love of the Spirit speaks with me, as it always has done. And I just ooze that love, and I am that unconditional love. And I will try and help anyone, anywhere. And there is limits because you're in a human body, of course, but the soul and the Spirit never fail. And if it's my job here just to spread love, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm just going to keep going out there and doing it, because if we could start that love wave off, you know, how in these arenas they all stand up and wave and they sit down and the wave goes around. If we could just do that with love, I think God would be very proud of us. He'd be finally thinking, oh, my goodness, they get it. We're way away from it. I often wonder what the spirits are looking down on us, and they must be having the biggest headache, thinking, how many thousands of years have we given them and they still haven't got it yet? You know, are they ever going to learn? And I can see them looking down upon us as if to say, I think it's a hopeless case here. But they always hold out that light, you know, and they give us that light and hope that we're going to do it. Well, you know what? We've pioneers in this world of love, such as yourself and the millions of people who love you, like I know they do, and the followers I have too, and I know I share that love out there and it comes back. You know, I think we're finally seeing that this world is love and we need to claim it and then we need to live it.
I totally agree, and we're halfway through the show, so we're going to take a little break.
Okay, darling.
I got my little mod just gave me a hint. So go get yourself a drink, and then we'll come back, and I'll ask you some more stuff.
Okay, baby, I'm done. Okay, sweetie.
Live Paranormal Radio is the place to be, so join us at liveparanormal.com.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is Live Paranormal Radio, brought to you by LiveParanormal.com, the number one interactive online community for everything paranormal, horror, and sci-fi. Web Design, 100% custom website, entry pages, Twitter backgrounds, banners, and more. For more information, please visit liveparanormal.com, the official web designer of the stars.
Quick little break. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to Spiritual Balance. I'm your host, Shaman John. Tonight I have on international medium Lizzie Starr. She can be found at LizzieStarInternationalMedium.com. You can book readings, check out her site. She does have a lot of cool stuff on there. And without further ado, we will see if she is back. Maybe. There we go. Hey, Lizzie. Welcome back.
Hi, darling. Thank you, sweetie. I'm enjoying myself, even though I can't see all your listeners or even be in the chat room there. I can feel their love. So thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You got a lot of good responses in the last thing you were talking about. And
right.
You had a lot of people talking about loving themselves and how important that is.
It is. Very important, because it is they who are the spirit of themselves. It is they who are the most important person to themselves. It is they who are the most important person to God. Shine the light, guys.
Yes. I'm going to shift from my questions and ask you something that came to me as I was chatting with you. But there are kids that I do work with that go back and they archive the shows and listen to them. They love Live Paranormal because this is a great group of people with a great amount of hosts on here. If there was something
right.
that you could tell the kids, what would that be?
To the kids who have got the gift, you mean, or just the kids in general?
Both.
Okay, let's go with ordinary children, right? Let's hit those first. If I could say anything to give them hope in this world, I would tell them, number one, I love them very much, and that there is hope for each and every one of them, because they're very special beings, and God put them here to do a job, and they've come here to do a very special job. And if only they were just to look inside of themselves and realize that they're very special and very loved, and each and every one of them are a shining star in the galaxy. And they're very important to this universe here on this earth plane with us. And that help one another is the biggest thing. Love your friends. Love your mum, love your dad, love your aunties and uncles. Give them respect and love, because they do an awful lot for you. They are everything to you. And when you get to be a mum and dad yourself, you will realize what they truly did for you. And sadly, we don't see that right away. We have to really go through a lot of stuff, and sometimes not very nice stuff. You know, and it's sometimes maybe too late, because once you say those words, they're set in stone in spirit. So be very careful with your words and speak only beautiful words if you can. Now, I know you're kids, and I know I was a kid myself, and, you know, that might go through one ear and out the other one like it did with Elizabeth sometimes. But if you truly do listen and, you know, you're here because you are very loved by the angels and the spirit guides and the helpers, then it is your duty here to love yourself. In loving yourself, you're loving your mum, your dad, your dog, your cat, your bird, anything that is around you. Take a good look at your world, guys. You're in a good spot right now, if only you knew it. You know, be an advocate. Go out there and help the old lady across the street. Go see if your neighbor needs anything. You know, you haven't got to be a scout in the scouts to do this stuff. Dig deep inside your spirit and your soul. And love yourself, and respect and love another, no matter what it is, a fly, a butterfly, you know, the dog, the cat, like I said, respect and love them. Because, guys, when you respect another, they so shall respect you. Now to the spiritual children. I was very spiritual myself, and it was a difficult life. You guys have it made right now. Well, some of you do, because, you know, there is people here to help you, such as I and Shaman John and many more people like us. And it is a new and fresh and beautiful world. But it can also be very frightening, and you can feel very out of the loop. But, you know, being out of that loop means that, you know, you're here to do a bigger job. And remember, the harder the job, the better for your growth, because if it was too easy, then you wouldn't grow so quickly. And you're here to do a very special job. You are gifted children, very, very special. You have the bright white light that surrounds you. Just know that you are so loved, and you are here to do great work. That great work will move mountains if you so wish. But please always remember, respect your gift, respect the spirit, and respect thyself, because one day you will also be a spirit. And that would be my advice to you, is to work as best you can. You can only do your best. That's all anyone ever asks of you. And always respect the spirit, the Lord, and yourself. And there's my thing for the kids, darling. Was that good?
Oh, my God, I'm going to start flying my kids down there to talk to you.
Well, send them down, darling. I absolutely adore children. I love them. And I love to get down to their level and be a kid again. Yeah, isn't that the most wonderful thing, to join in with them and to understand them and play with them? Because if you're going to be, if you're going to talk to them, come down to them, you know. That's what they look for. They don't want to be scared and think, oh, I have to please you, or I have to do this and this and this. And then there's a fear that they have to be right, or they have to do it right. No, guys, you can make mistakes. We want you to make mistakes. You know, we want to help you to see if you make a mistake where we can put that mistake right. And that's the most important thing when you're dealing with children, is to become the child once again. And that's a great excuse for me, because I love to be a child.
I think that's my excuse. I got them around me all the
me
time.
But, me,
you know,
too, darling. I don't think I could live without them. Yeah.
We did have a question, and I'd like to get your opinion on this, from Tam in the chat room.
Right.
She said she was wondering if psychic abilities were hereditary, or do all kids have it and then they grow out of it?
Well, you know, I do believe we're all psychic. We all have psychic abilities. But a lot of people it's very dormant within a lot of people, because it's, number one, In the way we live and in olden days gone by, it was not talked about, even if you had it. So it's something that lies dormant, because it's not the thing we talk about. But I'll answer the question here. I do believe we're all psychic. I do believe most of it is handed down, not all of it, because I do believe you can become the medium if you so get the right training, because we all have an ability to connect with the spirit world, because we are spirit ourselves. But it is most important that if you have the calling for it, or, you know, you're very interested, then there's your spirit saying, okay, maybe there's a chance you may be mediumistic or psychic. Why don't you go along and see? You know, so number one, if you're inquisitive, I think there's a great chance that you could be a wonderful psychic or medium. You have to sort of want it like anything else in life. I mean, if you wanted to play a piano, you know, you can either play chopsticks, or you can go and play off a symphony or a melody. Or you can just play chopsticks, you know, and say, that's it, I could play those few things. But if you wanted to take it one step further, it requires an awful lot of hard work. They will tell you at my college it takes 5 years to make a good medium, not psychic, medium. So, you know, it's to answer your question, darling, I do believe we all have it, but only a few pursue it. How's that?
Fantastic. That's great. And what? Then I also have a certain little girl who adores you that is right upstairs in bed, because it is a school night, but she wanted me to ask you, what would you tell the kids her age, which is teenagers, would be the best way to keep spirits out of their rooms at nighttime?
Well, you know, this is how I would go about it if I was a little girl, right? And especially if I was a little scared little girl, I'd be under the blanket, you know, put that over my head. But I would talk to them and I would say, you know, it's so nice for you to be here. And I truly do appreciate it. But it is time for you guys to go. I need my rest. And now I'm going to go to sleep. So, you know, you need to be on your way. I sort of want to talk to them like they would. You know what I mean? Like, so if I was a 14-year-old girl, I would talk to Spirit as if this was my friend. And I would say to her, you know what, it was nice to have you around for the evening, but now it's bedtime, and I'm afraid you have to go. So that's how I would go with it, because that's how I'm used to speaking with the spirit. And I can only give you you know, how I would do it for myself. And I often do it that way because, you know, I see them all day long. I hear them. I talk with them. I've done some incredible readings. I'm very proud of them. I am too. And, you know, when the spirit is there, I mean, one night, I'll give you an example. I was sleeping and the one came and tapped me on the shoulder and I looked at him and I said, yes. And they just wanted to play. And I said, you know what? I'm trying to sleep. You go to your world, darling, and leave Elizabeth to sleep. Bye. And I just rolled over and took no notice. And so they just went. You know, they will want to play. It's just you have to tell them, this is your time, darling, and this is mine. And now you have to go. Sorry. You know. So that's the way I would do it.
That is so cool because there's times I yell upstairs and say, come on, it's bedtime. And I get the response, we're almost done. And I like take two steps. I'm like, where? Who's up there? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. And so then I go up, all right, everybody, vacate.
Exactly. See, so you do like me. Yeah, you do it like me because, you know, those spirit people are really as real as you and I. It's just that because we cannot see through the veil, or many people cannot, we don't give them that respect that they so richly deserve. Because we cannot see them, you know. So once again, here comes the love and the respect, and just treat them as your friends and tell them time to go.
That's pretty much what I do. Sometimes it gets pretty hectic. My house is like Grand Central Station.
here too.
There's only like three living bodies here, but man, we're a packed house.
I know what
sometimes
that's like.
Sometimes we go through ringing the bell. When we ring the bell, that means they all have to clear. It's just family time. Nobody needs to be bugged. You know, it might
exactly.
be movie night.
Isn't it wonderful to have a spiritual life, you know, and you can talk about it? You know, it's like we're free to talk about it at last, aren't we? Because it's something that you really didn't talk about at one time. And now it's so wonderful that it's an open sort of book. And people are warming to it, and that really pleases me. And to do a show like this is so wonderful because it gives you the opportunity to spread the love and to spread the understanding and the knowledge that you have been so blessed to have laid before you. And so it's a way of giving back, and I love it. And I tell you, I am so enjoying it, I could go on forever.
I know, and as I'm thinking about actually maybe doing more shows because I've got a lot of great people that would like to open up and just express how they feel and how they view things and how they see things. Because I like to keep the, you know, especially you guys. You guys work so hard on BTR doing readings. And, I mean, you guys are amazing. And I'd just like to have, like, a open table so you can just, you know, sit and talk and, you know, don't have to worry about readings. And,
beautiful.
You know, we can hear more about
yeah.
you.
It's wonderful, but, you know, on the other hand, too, the listeners love the readings, and I can understand them because it's exciting, you know, because when I used to go to the churches, and we'd have this, you know, you have to be able to do the philosophy and also the prayer and also the mediumship. And, you know, it seemed like the only thing I wanted, and many of us, too, was waiting for the mediumship to come up. Even though we was in church, it was wonderful, but the mediumship was the highlight of the day, you know. So I can see both sides of the coins here. I love that I can talk and help and, you know, give the knowledge forward. But equally, I love to read, too. So anytime you want me to come on and do half and half or do one and one, I'm available for you, darling.
Well, I thank you very much, and I will take you up on that.
Because
I've already gotten emails asking that. The show's not even over.
Oh, wonderful. And it's nice to show the people how your gift works, too, because I am very different as I've had the training, like, you know, like Jennifer. It's like, it's so different. It's like, I call it slipping a second and going into spirit world to get the message to bring it back. That's how I do it. And when I do a reading, you know, when I'm doing a private reading or a phone reading, whatever, I never let the people ask me a question. I don't care what the topic is they've come for. They're going to get what's coming from spirit, and I'll bet you any money that topic is covered from A to Z by the time we're done. And it's quite exciting. I just love it.
I've actually gone back and listened to some of your shows two or three times that you've done just to get everything that you've said to somebody, because it's amazing,
right?
The information that you get.
It is amazing, you know, and I'm very, very blessed that the spirit comes so close. And I am fast and furious. That's what I call myself, fast and furious, because I feel like, you know, if I was wanting a reading, you know, and I'd gone somewhere, I'd want as much as possible because it's so exciting, and you really are there for what you want, you know. And so I was trained this way, to give as much information as possible, as fast as you can, so you don't skip a beat, you know, and that's how I come at it. So sometimes I've tried so much to slow it down, and I cannot, because I just don't want that loved one not to get the words through to that person on this side, or from this side to the spirit world. And so I work extremely hard to connect the two together with as much information as possible, and it works, you know, it does work.
I highly recommend anybody listening that if you would like a reading with Lizzie, to please check out her website at LizzieStarInternationalMedium.com. You will definitely not be disappointed in any way, shape, or spirit form.
Thank you. I love that last bit. But I do love my work. I truly do. I am 100% spiritual, 100% and then some. And, you know, meeting people like you, John, it's like I feel that love within you, and I feel that connection, and I know that connection is pure love. And when you feel that connection, you know you're onto a good thing, because you know that what you've got is a diamond. You know, you can help as many people as possible, and you know you're helping them, and that is all the payment you need, the satisfaction that comes from helping those kids and those people. There is nothing like it. And I always say to everybody, have the best job in the world.
Yeah, my daughter on her Facebook has a thing she put on there. It says, we work for smiles. And I just,
there you go.
I love that little verse.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Absolutely, we work for smiles. It's great, isn't it? And if everybody was to smile just looking at it, you know, it changes the equilibrium. It changes the chemical balance within yourself. It turns it from slushy to a little bit clearer to magnificent. And if we could all be magnificent, hey, we're doing good.
Yeah. Well, we really try.
We'll keep trying.
Yeah, working with these newer, actually all of them, my second to last big event that I did, I had kids that ranged from 3 to 18.
Oh, how beautiful.
I don't remember how many there were.
Oh, my God. I would love that. You know, with me being on tour a lot, I don't get the pleasure of children very much, but I would have loved that one. I would have been in my element. I would have even played in the sludge with them. I just love children.
Yeah, there's on our Parents with Gifted Children site, there's a picture of, I think, 9 of us, and that was just like 3 hours. There was 9 kids there, and it was just a great day. We had so much fun.
Oh, I bet you did. There's so much satisfaction in working like this, isn't there? It gives you so much back for yourself, doesn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. There's nothing like it.
Growing up, being able to see myself and, you know, just to be able to ease their minds and get the family unity back to what it should be. So everybody's open and talking. That's what it's all about.
That's because you're spreading that unconditional love. You know, they feel it. If you've got love inside of you and that's what you're built on, then they're going to feel it, aren't they? It's like they're just going to pick up that spiritual love. And it's going to just give them so much love and comfort. What a great job you're doing. I am so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. And actually, I don't remember what show you were on, but you did a reading the other day that almost brought me to tears. You are amazing, too, and I am so proud of what you do and the help that you give other people.
Thank you.
I'm like, holy cow.
Was I reading for a little boy?
I think so. No? Yes. Yes, you were.
This little boy came on. Yeah, and his brother had died, and I brought his brother through. And he was sitting on this beautiful porch outside of his house, and it was a beautiful evening. And his brother told me to tell him to look up at this half moon. And sure enough, there was a half moon. And I said, your brother's sitting on there like that. You know, there's something that's, I don't know, somebody, there's a thing for the moon with a little boy fishing off it. He knew it. Oh, it was a beautiful read, wasn't it? Absolutely.
I hate to cut you off, but guess what?
Oh no.
Spend an hour already.
Sorry then. See, I told you. 6 hours.
Alrighty. Well, honey, I have to get out so the other guys can get in. Thank you so
much. Okay, darling. Thank you. Oh, it's my pleasure, darling. Thank you.
Love you too, hon.
I love you. Bye, sweetie pie.